Hey, what's poppin'? We're back in the DealsInDeed.com studios with a real show, a real new show.
Feels like forever.
I know it does. 2 days off. Oh my God. I tell you, it was much needed too.
Somehow I don't feel refreshed.
I don't really feel terribly refreshed either. I'm sure Trudy doesn't.
No one does.
Everything sucks. I wanted to start out today. Well, first I'll mention that we're going to be brought to you on Facebook by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas on Main Street in Royal Oak, the place to celebrate the Mexican Army's defeat of the French Empire, period. The 3rd, the 4th, the 5th of Mesa. The warm-up is Friday and Saturday. They got the 35-foot screen for Tigers games or whatever. 10% off if you mention the Drew and Mike show and 150 tequilas. Also, that new radio station, 106.7 WLLZ. Hey. Detroit's Wheels.
Yeah.
What'd you play today, Trudy?
I played all kinds of stuff, Drew, but I...
Very generic answer, Trudy.
Ended the show. I ended the show with The Stroke, so...
Oh, nice.
Handed it over to Doc and jetted.
Wait, are you trying to rub it in or something?
I am, actually.
Ending the show with The Stroke. But some G&R, some Nirvana.
Wait, you didn't say The Stroke, you said The Strokes, right?
No.
Or did
no,
you say Stroke?
I wish The Strokes.
Oh, I thought you meant... Oh, boy, I misheard.
The Stroke, yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah, G&R... Lots of GNR today.
AC/DC, Aerosmith, Zeppelin, and of course the Drew and Mike show Saturday and Sunday morning, 8 to 11. There's some good stuff on there.
Hey, did you catch Deep Cut Saturday?
Deep Cut Saturday? I
deep
did
cut
not.
Saturday.
What? There's a Deep Cut Saturday?
Yes.
How did I know that? Saturday. Not know this?
Well, I texted you. I was like, the babies. And you're like, what
oh,
baby?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the babies.
Oh my God.
It's like I heard the babies.
Deep.
What deep cut of the babies did they play?
What is that?
Isn't it time?
Time, yeah.
Oh, that's a time, great.
But I had it cranked so loud.
That should not be a deep cut.
No, you're right. But I think that is part of the experimentation process.
Okay.
And a lot of people had a lot of good ideas, too.
Any other deep cuts besides
Donny Iris was one.
Oh, Donny Iris?
Donny Iris.
Is that a deep cut now? What's going on with our song?
I think we were both playing it at the same time.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it sounded weird. All right.
Good times.
So, 106.7 WLZ, the new generation of classic rock, featuring the babies on
Deep Cut Saturday.
It's a great song. I love the babies.
I'm telling you, that baby could be the star of a show called Babies I Don't Care About.
Okay, get all the baby drops out.
Shut up, baby, dear.
What's unusual about the baby's name?
The dingo's on my baby!
What is
the way it's spelled.
Oh, it's
spelled incorrectly.
A-B-Y.
A-B-Y-S.
No apostrophe.
Hasta la vista, baby.
You know what? I spelled babies one recently. I was like, I'm misspelling this. What am I doing wrong? And I realized I'm so used to the babies band name that I had trouble with the I-S. How ridiculous.
Every orgy needs a witness and baby wipes.
All right.
So, I think you like baby poop.
Okay,
that's
enough.
Good one. That's a good one.
Oh, baby, won't you light my fire?
You got more baby drops than I ever
Oh,
imagined.
You don't even know. That's only the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look at that list.
That was just for you, baby.
I mean, there's four Nikita Denise baby drops alone.
I like that baby.
Come on, baby.
Oh, that baby.
Oh, come on, baby.
Okay, are we done with baby drops?
I think so.
One more?
Okay, one more.
Just ask for Gina, baby.
Gina, my girl.
God damn it, baby!
All right, we're done.
I just want to say this because I was watching the news on Monday, and I'm thinking about traditions and how, you know, we keep adding traditions.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the college football playoff championship or the Labor Day walk over the Mackinac Bridge, or, you know, new things come on. 9/11 memorials. You know, there's always something new.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, don't we need to drop some old traditions and go, you know what, that one sucks anyway.
Like
so
which?
Okay, the Easter egg roll on Monday at the White House. Can
that
be dropped?
Oh, yeah.
Can we ever that?
Yeah.
What is the fucking point? It's not Easter.
Nothing.
Hmm.
What is it?
Does someone get something out of the Easter egg roll? Do you feel that every year you watch a story you go, wow, look at, did you see the Easter egg roll stuff this year?
No.
They had a killer Easter egg roll at the White House.
Full disclosure, I might have Easter eggs for both kids from the White House.
What?
Andy's is from Trump and Charlotte's is from Obama because those are the years they were born.
Oh.
I know.
That's no reason that
to continue.
No,
you don't need the egg roll.
That's a bad tradition.
There's a 2-minute story every year on the Easter egg roll. It makes network news. I mean, it's like, oh, the Easter egg roll the Monday after. Why? We don't need it.
I've never even seen what they do.
I don't know.
They literally roll the egg with the spoon.
I get that. Okay, that's not the part they ever focus on.
Don't you feel dumber for talking about it, like trying to actually evaluate it? It's so dumb. It's not even Easter. Do it on Sunday if you're going to do it.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with it. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it on the actual day of Easter?
Easter Monday.
Is Easter egg rolling a big thing?
No.
I love rolling Easter eggs. It's so
that's
cool.
That's how I roll.
No, I'm with you 100%. Get rid of it. It's dumb. I think it was created to stop like ruly kids playing on the Capitol grounds or something stupid like that.
What?
Yeah, right. That's one of those stories I had to learn today.
Stop anything.
Watching the news on it.
It caused more.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's even dumber. I can't believe how dumb it is. The Labor Day walk over Mackinac Bridge, can we stop that too? Yeah. Can you stop talking about it?
You know, and that's a traffic problem too, because they have to shut the bridge down. Anybody who's on one side is trapped and anybody who's on the other side is trapped and can't go over.
I support the Great Lakes.
It's one of those stories that you just see every year and you go, ho hum.
What about Earth Day?
Earth Day is important, I think. I think that's a tradition we should keep.
Earth Day means nothing.
Now, see, that was originated in 1970. Was that Ira Einhorn?
Ira Einhorn, yep.
Baby.
That's a rumor that has absolutely no substance.
And their new traditions were adding all the time, like the Fist Fest, for example.
Gross. What's that?
Oh, it's bad.
It's a fisting festival.
Seriously?
Yes, I'm serious.
Do they have it down by the fist?
Do they? No, they don't.
Why not?
It's not here.
Oh.
Let me guess. It's in a weird country.
No, it's in the United States.
It is?
It is. And it's at a facility. That's what I was asking Brandon if he had the phone number for it, because I felt we should give a call into the Fist Fest.
I am going to shove my fist right into your ass, hard and fast. Not in a sexual way, in a I am pissed off at you way.
Drew yelled down the stairs. He's like, hey, Brandon, you ever heard of the Fist Fest? And I said, huh? And so I Googled it, and right away, you don't want to Google it. You don't want to go to their Twitter page.
Now I'm going
page.
To. Oh, yeah. Well, now thanks
for
that. When
you go to the Twitter page, you see something so unbelievably frightening. And of course, after.
Wait. It doesn't violate Twitter's, like.
I thought the pinned tweet would have violated something.
At Fist Fest?
Is it at Fist Fest, Brandon?
Oh, boy.
Fist
_ Fest. Don't go there on Twitter.
Don't go there.
You're going to be greeted by a GIF or a GIF, whatever you want to call
it. I don't even know what I'm seeing.
Don't.
Well, that's a
butt. I know it's just magenta.
I got to say, I'm so naive to think it was. Just for gay guys?
Does it go in the butt?
Yes.
I thought maybe women were involved too.
So no, I know that was a little surprising to me too. I thought.
Oh Lord!
It's bad. Don't.
Trudy, don't
go
look.
There.
Don't look at my screen. Whatever you do.
Why can't you tell Trudy not to look at some? See, she looked. As soon as you say don't look, she
Zoof,
looked.
Did you see it? Oh, it's something that would be described as
ask
prolapsed.
Your mom, ask your mom about it on the way home.
What is that?
I know, it's bad. It's bad.
God.
I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach.
What is this guy doing?
Wait, here's what's worse. The Fist Fest Twitter has 300 more Twitter followers than I do. That was the second thing I saw. After the first atrocity, the second atrocity.
Did you see their Easter Bunny?
Yes, I did see their Easter Bunny.
Dear Lord, what am I doing? I can't stop.
Oh, stop, please.
Oh! Wait,
all right, everybody calm down. Can we please get the Fist Fest under control?
This guy's treating it like a speed bag. Did you see that one?
Switching from left to right. Can't even talk about it. It's so appalling. But anyway,
I can't wait to show Eli.
It's on.
Oh, me too.
It's in Augusta, Georgia. And all I can think of was Jim Nance at the Fist Fest. The hallowed grounds of Augusta, Georgia, home of the Masters and Fist Fest. Let's see who wins the brown jacket.
So why does he have to host everything from Augusta, Georgia?
We're going to see who takes home the pink sock.
Ugh.
Join our pledge class. Join our pledge class. I mean, isn't pledging a fraternity bad enough? What do they do?
Butthole cabin.
So because I threatened to punch people in the ass in that one promo, is that? Do you think the Fist Fest would like that?
No, it's not supposed to go in all the way.
It probably would. By the way, if you're thinking about going to Fist Fest and you're you have a history of abuse of some kind, drug or alcohol abuse, they do have 12-step meetings at Fist Fest this year. I pass it along. Well, there's a real sensitive side of Fist Fest.
Wow.
Oh, that's fun.
Nice.
And then, there was another
real
warning.
Sensitive
about...
side. Yeah,
and if
anus.
We want to call them later, I have both the number for Fist Fest as well as where it's being held, the Parliament Resort in Augusta, Georgia.
This is a weekend formed by men who are into butts, holes, and the hands. So leave your friends who faint at the thought of a hand up someone's butt at home. If you're into ass play, this is the weekend for you. This is the weekend for you. Open pool party Friday, fisting refresher course with Larry.
Who's Larry?
I don't know. Some guy. That
sounds like a troublemaker.
Larry the
on refreshing
fister.
People on fisting.
Larry!
Then they have advanced concepts and panel discussions. What kind of panel discussion? I mean, can you imagine a discussion at this thing? Do they really need that?
Yeah, you got to know which way to
put it. There's two fists too many is their topic this year. Butthole elasticity will be the panel discussion this year.
In, out, three times.
It's probably a panel on lube.
Butthole elasticity was a lively topic last year on the panel.
Do you do uppercut or hook? Jab?
Jab.
I don't have any lubricant. Do you see any whiteout or like copy toner should work?
Then they have a Saturday afternoon play party at the Hellhole. The Hellhole.
I don't know, but it's properly named.
And there's a warning that leather, because there's a lot of BDSM involved, believe it or not, fisting is apparently a BDSM.
Really?
Leather's fine, but isn't compatible with ED.
What's ED? Oh.
ED medication and leather cleaner can result in death. It can cause a heart attack.
Really?
So.
That's interesting.
That'd be quite an O, but yeah, Dad was at Fist Fest and he has leather chaps and he forgot the leather cleaner. He forgot to leave the leather cleaner at home and took his ED meds and a little heart attack. So.
He always liked to look good in his leather.
At least he was doing what he loved.
Where does this take place? At some resort?
Yes.
So are there like, I mean, do they take over that resort or are there other people that have rooms booked?
Let's see if we can find out.
How bummed would you be if you have a room booked the same time Fist Fest?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking about. I wanted to call and...
Oh, man, there's... No.
What's the weekend for Fist Fest?
It is April 25th through the 27th, it's coming up quick.
Well, let's see about making reservations this weekend at Fist Fest. Oh, God, does it have to be... I wish we'd already opened the Hall Financial Hotline. Call for a refi, 248-308-5000, or click the link on the Drew and Mike Show webpage.
So you want the resort?
The resort, yeah.
Okay.
This is a legal event. I mean, it's not criminal. I mean, people are into what they're into. It just seemed weird when three people send you emails and go, have you heard about this? And you click on it, and it's Fist Fest 2019.
Wow.
Panel discussions.
Huh. Did you read the first timer's guide?
I did.
First timer,
There's some good ideas in here. What to pack, a power strip. Many of the outlets are not near the bed. Lube. Puppy pads.
Metropolis, this is Ashley.
Yeah, is Fist Fest this weekend?
It is.
Okay, because I was going to make a reservation, or I think I already have one, and I was wondering, is Fist Fest, do they take over the whole place?
They pretty much do, baby, yeah.
They do, because I got kids with me. They're younger. Would that be a little awkward?
It definitely would, yeah.
I see. Is this the
home? Yeah, why, you already got a reservation for here?
I thought I did, but maybe I ought to cancel. That sounds... Is it? Are you sure it wouldn't be something? I mean, do they have their own area, or do they just kind of take over?
Well, for here and the executive end, they will.
I see. Is it an event they have there every year?
It is, yeah.
It is.
I think last year this time they had one.
Oh.
And we've got another one coming up in July, and then there's another one coming up in October.
Wow.
Never heard of Fist Fest before. Is that something that you guys sort of were concerned about, whether should we do this or not? What is Fist Fest? I mean, you know what it's all about?
Actually, this is my, I just started working here, like,
your first day?
This month will be a year for me, the end of this month.
Okay, so it's not really...
So it's new to me still.
Yeah, you didn't book it, in other words.
Right.
Yeah.
What conference room do they get there? Is it the biggest one?
I don't know.
Oh, they don't have a conference room booked for their lectures? Panel discussions.
Yeah, they. I'm sure they do. I don't know how big or you know. I heard that it's becoming pretty big, though.
It is. Is it a well-behaved group, do you know?
Sir?
Is it a well-behaved group? I mean, it sounds
kind
of
crazy. It is. Believe it or not, the guys that come are just really, really nice.
That's good.
Have any members of housekeeping quit after a Fist Fest weekend?
No, they don't. They still work, but we do have, well, I see what you're saying. Do they quit because of all the work? We have had that happen. Not I all believe. Of them, but we've had a couple of them quit.
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, boy.
Well, who was the founder of Fist Fest? Whose idea is this in the first place?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It's been going on for quite a few years.
Well,
I think this is only the second year I've heard of it.
And do you guys put it on the marquee, Welcome Fist Fest?
it's in the brochures. It just says Spring Fling, and then it's got a fist with a rose in it.
What's the biggest thing requested from the front desk from guests staying for Fist Fest? Like extra towels or sheets or lube?
Yeah, plenty of towels. They go through them for sure.
And then do you just throw them away when you're done, or do you guys wash them?
A lot of them probably get tossed, I'm sure.
Oh, thank God. Fine establishment.
I know you're new there. It's your first Fist Fest. I hope everything goes well. It sounds like an orderly group of good dudes, and I hope you have a great, successful weekend.
I hope so. That's actually, everybody to their own, but that's one thing that I don't too much get into that. That's not my thing, but...
No, I understand.
More power to them,
Sure. If they're having fun...
They go at it like troopers, so...
You got it. Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right.
Adios. Well, sounds like a good time
for think of a better place to have Fist Fest. I mean, that guy's a nice guy.
I just realized this...
cause trouble?
This complex where it is, the Metropolis Complex, is a gay and lesbian club anyway, so... It's not... I don't know how many families that would be freaked out by such a thing would be staying there anyway. 4.4 review on Google, so that's cool.
Really?
Okay.
Let's see. There's like no one-star ratings with big reviews.
I got to tell you, I was reading about it today. It sounds like it's
good for them.
There's a lot of planning involved. It's very orderly.
Bags. Chill, Mags.
It's got to be orderly. You don't want any chaos at Fist Fest.
And the Fist Festers should have organized Fire Festival.
Yeah.
It would have come off better.
Yeah. Right. Which would you rather go to? I mean, you don't have to participate in stuff either place.
Eli's here. We're going to talk about Steve Azierman and a couple other things, but Trudy, can you handle that? And Dr. Yaldo?
Totally.
Absolutely. Because it's what we've all been waiting for, and it's finally here. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Rams spring sales event. Wonder what all the excitement is about? Well, let me explain. During Zot's spring sales event, you can lease a new 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4 as low as $166 a month. $166 a month, I'll say it louder. How about leasing a new loaded 19 Jeep Compass for as low as $198 a month? Or if you want to move the entire family around in total luxury, lease the new 19 Chrysler Pacifica as low as $292 a month. Plus, last month's employee pricing for everybody, it was such a smashing success that our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram decided to do it again. So, while supplies last, get employee pricing on all 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Nobody else doing that for you. And by the way, this is the perfect time to do it. Dropping your top?
Yeah, I was going to say perfect time for a Jeep.
Yeah. See details and surf their massive inventory.
Saturday was a little cold, but today...
It's called Mother Nature.
God, Saturday blew.
I know. It was so cold and rainy.
Yeah.
Today's gorgeous. Today's a cycling day.
It is.
But thanks for everybody that came out to the reef. That was fun.
Yes. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Steve was killing me.
Steve Moore.
Steve Moore, the fashion police. Wearing a vest with his sunglasses, very fashionable shirt.
He did not have any qualms about being made fun of about his vest. He totally
gave it back.
He defended it and everything.
I met him a little late, and he said, "Hey, I'm Steve. This is my Bezos vest."
Yeah, well, he took a pounding for his vest.
Yeah.
And I said, "What? What is your core cold?" And he said, "No, I just think it looks cool." I said, "Okay, that's good enough."
And that was the kind of day when it was nonstop drizzle and rain that you could have used the Yaldo Eye Center, the official sponsor for all things visual on the Red Shovel Network, from custom LASIK surgery, which Trudy got.
Third person read.
To multifocal lens implants, which many listeners have forgotten or have gotten to designer sunglasses, which we all love. Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's leading LASIK surgery with over 30,000 procedures performed. The CAT system is the world's most precise. Those multifocal implants for people 50 plus just eliminates, wipes out reading glasses and gives 20/20 distance for life. Charlie LaDuff, who owns No BS News here on the Red Shovel, or actually hosts it, doesn't own it. Was so impressed.
We could debate ownership.
Sort of having a Yaldo.
Sounds like a really complicated
Yaldo
commercial
moment
today. What's going
so
on?
So impressed by the coffee? Staff in the service when he went for his annual eye exam. They told him his eyes were amazing for a guy his age and that he needed no surgery. Seriously?
What?
Telling me?
LaDuff is in the top 1 percentile. He's
of
amazing.
Course.
He needs reading glasses, but his far vision is so perfect that to give him the implants now really wouldn't make sense.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that's why we're proud to have Dr. Yaldo as a sponsor. He just wants the best for everybody and reminds us to have two more things. Annual eye exams, check for glaucoma and other potentially damaging conditions covered by regular insurance, and evaluations for surgeries are also free. Make the call, get half off on custom LASIK till May 15th. If you mention Drew and Mike, 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
Why is Eli's coming clean?
What?
Is Eli's here?
Through the whole commercial? Just asking.
Well, when he spoke,
oh, when
he cracked
when
the
Eli
mind.
Comes in, I understand, but I don't know if I want to play the whole song.
Really, you don't like that?
Does everybody want to hear the whole song? Nothing against Eli.
You don't jam to Three Dog Night.
I wanted it to kick into the jam, but I couldn't cue it up in time. Sorry.
Fuck it.
It's got a slow intro. I mean, this is 20 seconds in right here.
Yeah. Why don't we edit it so it's at the hook when?
That's too much. That's way.
Get some of the other versions. It's not the only one.
We only have way too much work.
6,000 drops. We can't manage to edit Eli.
No, too much
I'm really
work.
Insulted. I,
way too much work.
A lot harder on my intro.
Sorry.
I feel like I'm not important right now.
I'd rather just never play it again.
No, I. That's a good. I mean, how many Eli songs are there? Trudy, what's up with Dr. Roche?
Hey, Dr. Roche. Yeah. Well, they have spring specials. You can buy two areas of Botox or Dysport and get the third area half off. That would be like your frown lines. Dysport fights frown lines, takes out the wrinkles without leaving that frozen face look in between your eyebrows and other places on your face. Also, buy one syringe of Restylane, get one syringe half off. And April is Saline Breast Month. Saline Breast Special,
whoa,
$3,500.
Saline Breast Month.
Yeah. Yes. All these specials through April 30th, 2019, plus the mommy makeover and much, much more. Dr. Roche's triple board certified Dr. Gregory Roche. Put your best face and body forward, Dr. Gregory Roche. Go to them for a consultation. Go to drroche.com to check out before and afters and call them at 248. What is the date?
338-1110.
Only known them for, 20 years, and I can't remember it.
By the way, I talked to Greg last night. Tells me he's doing killer breast lifts these days.
Nice.
He said, we've just got that down. He said, there's so much. It was really kind of an exciting conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's somebody walking out of there just so happy. He said somebody, doesn't talk about names because everybody said, I did a couple where, I mean, you know, they come in, they're really unhappy. They had a couple kids, and he said, we sent this woman out there with just a killer pair of breasts, and I don't know what she's going to do with those, but they look fantastic.
He's a perfectionist. I'm glad to hear that.
He is. Oh, absolutely. And so are a lot of other people, which is that's why it's hard to do that job. So anyway, Steve Eiserman comes back. I know you guys talked about it on No Filter Sports this morning. By the way, is No Filter Sports loaded yet? I loaded it.
You reminded me. Oh, is it loaded?
It is up. Did you get the new count? Because there's nothing for No Filter for the new one.
Well, that lags a little bit. The count.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Did you tweet it out, Eli?
I did. Okay. After your admonition, I turned the car around, went home, and tweeted.
I'm trying to be a network executive.
You're right. No, you're good. You're good at that. I'm new to the Twitter thing.
You got like 300 new followers.
I'm up to 690. Is that good after 3 weeks or bad?
It's double what you had, so it's pretty good actually. Twitter is sports friendly.
Yeah,
it is. So anyway, Steve has a press conference on Friday, and it's funny. I wanted to watch it, and I was like, this is a perfect Steve Eiserman press conference. He says nothing. He's so He's so serious, intense. There's no light moments. Mm-hmm. Ken Holland looked like he was going to cry. I thought he was.
It looked like he drank the bitter beer. Remember that spot?
Keystone?
Yeah, like right. My mom gave me cod liver oil. She said I used to screw my face up when I was a kid. So it was the one question that was never. And by the way, I thought Steve did a great job. I thought there was
he always does.
There was no BS. He didn't blow smoke. He didn't throw out any cliches. He gave long answers, but he just wanted to be honest and lay it out. I thought he did a really, really nice job about being realistic, about having patience, about all those things that you have to be a little lucky to make the right trades. Mm-hmm. In 1989, the Wings made a trade when Steve was coming up. He'd been there 5 or 6 years. They traded for Bernie Federko. They traded Adam Oates, who turned into a Hall of Famer, one of the worst trades ever in hockey. And so you make deals, and you hope they turn out great, but they don't. Look what happened to Dumars. He tried to sign Grant Hill so desperately. Yeah. Grant wouldn't. The fact that he didn't, he was able to get Ben Wallace. So sometimes the stuff you don't do turns out to be lucky, and the stuff you do turns out to be doo-doo.
And Grant was hurt a lot. So, yeah. No, that's true.
But the one question, I'm watching this. I didn't go down there. And the one question nobody asked, well, how are you two going to work together? Who's Steve's boss? Is it unilateral? Does he consult with Ken? After all, it must be strange for Ken to have developed Steve when he worked for him for 4 years following his career, and now he works for Steve. Or does he work for Steve? Or does Steve work for him? Who has to approve the trades? They didn't go into any of that. And then that woman, I was going to say girl, but that woman from Channel 4 who does weekends,
oh, man,
asked the question, do you think it's fate that it happened on 4/19/19? I go, really? You're really going to
ask? Stupid question.
Stupid question. Oh, and I'm saying, if I was in Steve's position, I would have not answered it with nearly the aplomb that he did.
He's a good
what
guy.
A dumb question.
I thought the follow-up question was just as good, though.
Are you more than 7 inches?
Maybe I was watching a different press conference.
But anyway, the story for me, if I can digress just a little bit, is that nobody's really talked about his transformation, Steve's redemption. It was kind of touched on a little bit in that Russian 5 movie that was very good, by the way. I recommend everybody. Where Steve said, he said just dump the puck in and chase it. Then these Russian guys came in, and the puck movement and the flow of the game and the puck possession and the defense was so great. Well, he fought against that. And he was traded in 1995, and Mike Ilitch stepped in and said, no, you can't trade our guy. But Scotty Bowman, I told the story on your show a long time ago, that he was a reluctant warrior. He didn't want to stop scoring 60 goals and defer to the Russian guys because it was going to be a new style of play. And he really did not like Scotty Bowman. And after 94, Steve was very upset because not only had they taken his goals away, but they still weren't winning. But Scotty saw it coming. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say, because I got another story to tell you.
Well, I was just going to say that Steve Yzerman is unrecognizable to me because I got here later in his career. He was still a great offensive force, but it all seemed so smooth over to Bowman. And, missed the 60-goal years and the 56-goal year, right. It all looked like, it was just meant to be. But no, it was. It was a struggle to get there.
In fairness to Steve, he comes up at 18 in 1983, and every coach, because the Wings were awful, they never made the playoffs, they were called the Dead Wings, and every coach kissed his ass, from Nick Pilato to Harry Neal to Demers to Brian Murray. They all kissed his ass because he's Stevie, and even though we're not winning, he's still the best we have, and it wasn't good enough for Scotty. So the story I was going to tell you that I didn't hear until a couple of years ago, and somebody who was there that night when they lost to the Sharks in 94 said Scotty was actually happy. I go, what? That's impossible. How could he be happy losing in the first round of San Jose? He said, because he knew that he was able to now convince Mr. Ilitch to move Cicerelli and Coffey and Sean Burr, who he accused of not picking up a stick against New Jersey or picking up the stick of an opponent.
Is that the next year?
The next year. He accused him of that, and Burr denied it. I don't think there's any video evidence, but he was going
to... It was a dumb thing to say.
He was going to purge the locker room, and who was he going to get for Yzerman? A trade to Ottawa that they accepted for another Russian, Alexei Yashin. And so it would have been the Russian 6 had Ilitch not stepped in. So credit to Steve. He realized he had to sacrifice for the team. He did, and they won championships, and it taught him
Steve
what he needed to learn, and now he's a great general manager. So, a lot of things hang in the balance, and if he'd been traded or anything had happened differently back then, who knows? Wouldn't be here today.
Steve, to me, just kind of seems like the name of somebody who has absolutely nothing going on in their life.
What's his name? Eastbound and Down. I always forget his name.
Oh, Kenny
Danny.
Bowers.
Danny
McBride.
Danny McBride, yeah.
I saw an episode of that the other night.
It's the best.
Oh, man, it's so great. It's so hardcore.
Okay, we can all jump in on Kate Smith, whose statue at Flyers Stadium has been taken down, who has no longer played there, who has no longer played at the Yankees game, because we learned that in 1939 she recorded Why Were All the Darkies Born?
Yeah.
She had a whole string of songs, but yeah.
Yeah, there was another one called, I can't remember, but anyway.
Picking Any Heaven.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Where Have All the Good Times Gone, Van Halen. Where Have All the Darkies? I was trying to think of, gee, I wonder how that song went, and I listened to it, and the hook was actually sort of like I thought it would be, but why would anybody, that doesn't seem like a song that would really catch on. Does anyone know it was a big hit in 1939?
Probably not. It's an absurd, politically correct, move. Put it this way. The Yankees say we have to be racially sensitive. Well, you know, in the 30s, they didn't hire black players. They said, no, you can't.
Yeah, no, the Yankees, how are they just so pure.
Right, exactly. Nobody in baseball did. They were all a bunch of stinking racists. So now they're going to go back to 1939 when she sang a song that was really a spoof in many ways. You know, I'm against racism. I'm against all that stuff. But this is real bullshit.
There was not a baseball player in baseball until
1947,
Jackie Robinson.
I just wanted to bring up the question. Why did she have a statue to begin with?
Because she sang God Bless America,
oh,
they
I know
won.
That.
She was the fat lady that Dick Motta
mentioned
in 1970.
I know that. Why did you have a statue anyway? How many people that sing songs?
They went ape shit whenever she sang. I remember that. It was with the Broad Street Bullies. Wasn't she around that?
Right. And then right after that, it was Motta said, ain't over until the fat lady sings when they were down. Of course, the fat
Dick
lady
Motta.
Sang before. She sang before, and he was making after, but it's still.
Oh,
Karen
Newman.
Why don't we
have a statue of Karen Newman then?
Well, Kate Smith was a star. She was a national star. But I'm not saying she deserved a statue. Don't get me
wrong.
Why
don't you buy the statue and take it down and put it in the yard?
Hey, I'll take it. I understand her significance. I don't know why she recorded these stupid songs, but
Denny pointed out she raised $1 billion for war bonds during the war. She's an American hero.
Okay, so why
a lot of people raised war bonds, though. It's not a charity or anything.
Well, but she sang her
ass
off.
She got paid for it.
Get the bomb.
I was reading about her today. She seemed like she was a very beloved person. She seemed like a sincere person. Obviously, she did something stupid, but I mean, honest to God, we have no context for anything now in the PC world. And I think this stuff is killing the left, by the way. Everyone associates it with the left and they go, oh my God, they are out of they're on another planet for me.
Did anybody complain about it?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Where did this come from?
I don't know.
I think the team made the decision before anybody could complain. They announced that they discovered these songs, and the next day they announced it.
I mean, why did they have to announce that? Do they feel like this will never? Who's looking through Kate Smith's catalog?
Why did the Yankees just
it's like
stop
these people
playing
looking
it.
Up old tweets of the guy that wins the All-Star game? What the fuck?
As Bob said on No Filter today, hey, I read Little Black Sambo when I was 6 years old. That should have precluded me from having a career because I read a racist book. You know, so it's
wait, crazy. He read it on his own or he was assigned it? I know, it's fucking crazy. And I'm not,
you're right.
Obviously, the song sounds horrible. I mean, it sounds like an awful song. It's hard for me to fathom that people wanted to hear. Yeah. Hey, will you play Why Were All the Darkies Born for me? I mean, I can't imagine someone calling the request line and saying that.
Remember, there's a few years ago where they found the other verses of the Star Spangled Banner that nobody knew existed.
Yeah. It's still the national anthem. Washington, D.C.
He was a slave owner.
He was a slave owner. Yeah. Jefferson, UVA. Did you hear the story that the UVA students and faculty wrote a letter to the president of the university and said, don't ever reference Thomas Jefferson again? They did. He built the school. Isn't that hilarious?
Speaking of Virginia.
And I'm not saying he's the greatest guy or he's perfect, but, I mean, there's just no context to any of this.
What's with the Hokies colors, meanwhile, speaking of Virginia? Oh. I mean, how can purple and orange go together and make any sense?
It's maroon, burgundy, and orange.
Isn't it burnt orange?
It is burnt orange, yeah. I don't know. Honestly, they make it look pretty good. Yeah. I don't know how they do it. Baseball team was black and orange, by the way, because Bob Humphreys said, I'm not doing burgundy and orange. And I guess black is one of those colors you can put in a uniform, any uniform. So we were just orange.
It does look badass. I feel bummed that Bowling Green is brown and orange. It's like
brown and orange.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cleveland Browns are brown.
That's where they got it from.
Yeah, they have some good-looking uniforms, though.
Paul Brown liked it. That's why he took it to the Browns.
Yeah. Somehow, people do. Did you read about before we let you go? Did you read about? Oh, and No Filter Sports new show. You guys talked about Iserman.
Iserman a lot. Talked about the Pistons, and I raised the question. In fact, I'll ask Mark.
Yeah. What?
Do you think the Pistons were better off? Because I said before the series started. Don't you know they ruined Blake Griffin? He's injury prone anyway. He got hurt twice in the last game. That had nothing to do with his knee injury that kept him out. He hurt his shoulder and he hurt his foot. So is getting into the playoffs and getting blown out four straight games? They don't know for sure they're going to get blown out on Monday night, which is tonight. But they may because were they better off? Would they have been better off to have finished at 500 and not been in the playoffs where they got humiliated or not gotten in?
I don't know. I'd rather see them get in. But
I
just
think
because
experience is good.
If you're a fan of the team, why wouldn't you want them to get in? In other words, you could find a draft pick in the late first if you're not going to get one of the top three.
I'm not even saying
that's what it's about. You mean just because they're going to get blown out?
Yeah.
I'd rather they be in it.
It's not good optics, as they say.
I'd rather be in it. It's funny then because then you have the Andre Drummond situation, which is really funny how bad he's been getting booed and heckled.
Well, Chauncey eviscerated him on national television
the
other night.
But he really played well the last 2 months of the season.
I know, but he has not played well in this series. He got thrown out of the first – well, they were way out of the game. He played terrible.
I
don't think he should be booed. It's like, why are they talking about this stuff?
But it shows what a different level the playoffs are, even if you're going to get blown out in four games.
You got to play hard the whole game, and he kind of went in the tank. It was a very bad look. You know, Saban always says it's the process, which means whether you're winning by 30 or losing by 30, you run your offense, you play hard, and fans can give up. They can quit. They can go home. They can leave in the fourth quarter. As a player, you can't do that. And now they got him at $28 million next year, Griffin at $31 million next year. Griffin is hurt a lot, so I don't see how they can really get out of it. And to go back to Steve.
At least Griffin seems to have heart.
Oh, does he?
I feel
he?
Like
He's
Drummond
amazing.
Does not have heart.
Put it this way, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. But, you know, back to Steve. Steve's got a good young nucleus to work with. Whoever's going to manage the Pistons in the future, if it changes, doesn't.
Yeah.
Wait, that's going to happen?
I said, really depressing.
No, but is it going to happen soon? Oh,
for the Wings?
New person managing the Pistons?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I don't know.
By the way, Steve Yzerman had to sign off on them keeping Blashill, right?
I'm sure, yeah, he did. And he said he met with him and liked him. But whether he liked him or not, he's not going to fire him right away.
Quinn kept Caldwell. So.
Yeah. Well, I think Steve Yzerman will be able to make all the decisions whenever he wants to make them. Finally, I was just going to mention Miguel Cabrera, that whole divorce, or not divorce, the two kids came up today. And I read the story, and there was only one thing in the whole story that meant anything to me. And the story was mostly about the fact that she won a few things. He has to pay $1 million.
You're talking about the other woman, the mother of his children. Yes.
The mistress. He has to give her $20,000 a month. She can spend it on anything. She bills him for medical, daycare, private school, extracurricular activity, anything, scripts. He has to. Why did they make such a big deal about him getting a Walt Disney World pass and a Universal Studios pass? I mean, isn't that like $50 or $100?
I think it's basically that he has to treat all of his kids the same.
How can I pay child support?
I understand.
The part about medical, that doesn't include hers, though. Does it?
It probably. I don't know. She has $20,000 a month to spend however she wants. Because they were his legal team, I think, was saying, we want to know what she's doing with that. Why she needs $20,000. She doesn't need $20,000 a month. It's a big. I mean, honestly, it makes it look like, you know, getting knocked up by a superstar is a pretty good deal.
That's why it's up to the superstar to be a little more careful.
If you don't mind the dad not being around.
Well, I don't know that she does, although
she might not.
I don't know what she thinks. She seems more concerned about other things right now, but she did mention that since she filed suit, he hasn't seen these two kids.
Yeah.
Which was the only thing that mattered to me in that story. Like,
has he sought out to see the two kids?
She wants him to see the kids. And he was seeing the kids, and this is what I think happened. I think it's like, look, here's $15,000 a month, here's a house, I paid the $200,000 down payment on it. Shut the fuck up. I'll come see the kids occasionally. And then all of a sudden she said, no, I want something in writing. And then he said, well, fuck you and fuck the kids. And that's my guess. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. Well, she says he doesn't see the kids anymore.
If he doesn't see the kids, he's got to at least take care of the kids. You know,
well, she was threatening
him,
though.
Don't you think those kids would prefer and say, everyone focuses on the money. Don't you think those kids would
prefer the dad?
Shit about the money? They would like to know their dad?
Yeah, probably, yeah. So, well, I'd like to think so, at least.
I think this happens a lot. Now, I don't know if this is speaking out of school, but one of my kids, I can't remember which one, the older or younger, went to Cranbrook with Isaiah Thomas, his kid, out of wedlock, who he never saw. And it really hurt the youngster very, very badly.
It's so shitty.
Totally shitty. But this happens. It's hard to it's hard to stay with your wife who you've cheated. It's hard to stay with your wife who you've cheated on and go see the other family. What's she going to think? So is Cabrera going to tell his wife, you know, honey, I'll be back in a couple of weeks. I'm going to spend some time with the other kids. So here's the other thing.
But two things, if you're him and she's threatening to expose everything, wouldn't you kind of be like, well, then becomes between him and her and like, fuck this lady.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's not about the kids at that point to him.
I don't know. You know, I'm not sure what mattered the most to him. It seems in the end it was when she filed suit, everything changed, and all of a sudden he's not really interested in
his
kids.
So what happens now with him on the field? Is it fair for us to talk about his private life? Only if it affects what we care about, his professional life, and maybe that's another reason why he's just turned into another guy. He's got too many, not to mention Bit-Bits.
Should just ship him all the Bit-Bits.
I'm just starting. I hate to say this. I was really starting to like Miguel Cabrera, not because he was winning triple crowns. I thought he was a fun player to watch. He seemed like he was having a ball on the field. He seemed like he hustled. He played hard. He played hurt.
Yep.
And then I always come back to something. The other guy, the guy that has two kids outside of his marriage, the guy that doesn't see his two kids out of his marriage, the guy that gets drunk and threatens people.
Right.
And I don't know. I can't decide. I get this. It's like music and, you know, separating the art from the artist.
This is why, as a sports observer, just judge him by me and Tiger Woods, too. I thought he was kind of a dick, but I enjoy watching him play. Separate the professional from the personal. Look at him as the only thing you can really judge him by accurately is, how does he play the game? Is he a good representative of your team? Does he try hard every night? Do you like the way he plays?
I try to do that. That's what matters. Yeah. I do. But people, I remember when we first brought this up, he said, that's not news. And it's like, wait, it's Miguel Cabrera. This guy's one of the highest paid athletes in the world, and he's got a mistress and two little kids at every road trip. And she's posting on Facebook, by the way, back in the day. And now, you know, he's got this big legal case. Of course it's going to be public. I mean, I don't know why it's something you want to ignore. It is frustrating, though, when you want to like someone much as a player. And I get over-involved in my favorite players. I love them too much.
Right.
You know, just like I did as a kid. But this
stupid
is really
sad.
See, when you were a kid, you didn't know any
I know. But now I'm not a kid, and I know more, and so it all sort of factors in.
When you make a mistake and have the first one out of wedlock, how do you go back and do it again? I mean, come on now. Seriously. Two? You don't even care whether you have not one, but two?
Both of them.
It must have been some good action.
Yeah. She was. I mean, it's pretty.
It happened so fast he had no time to do anything about it.
He couldn't pull out in time.
Well, anyway, so much for.
All right. Probably promote No Filter.
Stupid story. Yeah, No Filter Sports. Check it out. And the new episode on Steve Yzerman.
Posted.
And other things. Yes, posted. And tweeted. And let's see. Oh, I wanted to also give best wishes, which apparently aren't needed because Kelly Stafford is okay.
Yeah.
But she had her surgery, and it was very complicated, but I guess it worked out all right.
Yeah, I guess it was longer than it was supposed to be because of an abnormal vein. It took twice as long, which, you know, if you're sitting around waiting for that, could you even imagine just what the hell is going on?
I know. Yeah, that was... It was a heavy. You just don't expect to see a young, healthy-looking person like that go through something like that.
Given birth?
Three kids, three healthy kids. I'm sure they're gorgeous kids. So good for her. Good for Matt. You know, they seem like really nice people. I know. Yeah. I'll probably be yelling at him
during Sunday
comes.
You suck.
But I truly like Matt Stafford. I think he's a good guy.
He's
a pretty good leader too.
This is the flip side to the Cabrera thing and knowing too much about the athletes. Yeah. Now do you cut them a break when they're pretty good guys? Yeah, you do.
Well, you know, honestly, Eli's right. When Miguel Cabrera's playing, when Matt Stafford's playing, I root for them because they're on the Tigers, they're on the Lions. But I don't cut them a lot of slack. I don't go, oh, Stafford threw a pick, but he's a good guy.
No, never.
You don't do that
Nor
when
should
you're watching
you.
The game.
Nor
no.
should you.
But I do like, generally, Matt Stafford is, I think he's a good guy. I don't know if he's ever going to be a Super Bowl quarterback. It looks like probably not.
That's fine.
But I still like him. So there.
Great guy.
You should know anything at all about any of them.
That's watched. Cabrera's fault.
I agree with Eli.
You know, anybody can screw up. And I'm not judging him, but the second kid.
But to that point, nobody's saying he shouldn't pay them anything. It's just how much they get. No, I know.
She's too worried about the money. And by the way, he had to pay off her $1 million home. I mean, she's living high on the hog. She's got a Range Rover. Oh, by the way, whatever happened to that little flower shop he bought her that she never was at when we called?
It's closed now, isn't it?
I think it is.
Crazy.
Do you have that number, Brandon?
Maybe
she is building a career for herself and she won't need Miguel's. She won't need so much of Miguel's help.
The last time we called it was under new ownership.
Totally plausible.
That's right. It was. Okay.
What if she takes that 20 grand and invests it like in a restaurant that goes belly up? I mean, then what? She can spend it anyway.
Whatever she wants. Yeah, that's kind of what they indicate. She gets $240,000 a year. That's tax free, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Is child support tax free?
Florida rules are so weird. They probably is there, at least state. I don't know about federal.
Can somebody Google that?
I think.
There's no state income tax.
Well, okay. So he claims them as a dependent, right?
Right.
So.
Is child support treated as income?
For her.
Yeah.
Okay, for her.
It might. I don't know.
Well, we can look this up.
That means that's taxed twice.
Is it spent. Income? Is it taxable? And the answer is.
No,
child support payments aren't considered taxable income. So she gets 240 grand a year.
Clear.
That's like $500,000 a year. She gets 250 grand a year for each brat.
I wish someone would give me child support.
I know.
And she bills him for everything. She bills him for everything. He even gets season passes for all this shit.
Wow.
And they get vacations. And oh my God.
Is alimony taxable?
Go ahead and Google it.
Alimony are tax deductible by the payor.
Yeah, by the payer.
It
probably is income for the payee.
Can he write it off?
Yeah.
I think he can write it off.
Yes.
Wow. As of December 31st, alimony payments are no longer deductible. So I don't know about child support, but alimony is no longer deductible.
Well, thanks, Trump.
Friends at Zot Ford and Holly and DealsNitty.com are excited to celebrate spring by offering you five new Fords. Is it almost 5 o'clock?
10 to.
Gary Graff in 10 minutes. They're excited to celebrate spring by offering you five new Fords under $100 a month. We've run by this. This is amazing. 19 Ford Fusion Hybrid as low as $77. The 19 Ford EcoSport as low as $81 a month. The 19 all-wheel drive Ford Escape as low as $82 a month. The brand new 19 Ford Edge SEL as low as $93 a month. And then lease the new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $98 a month. Sounds too good to be true. Drag your ass to Zot Ford and Holly and see for yourself. Plus, Maz, Gary, and the rest of the hottest staff in Oakland County will be excited to see
Gary.
You. And Maz, they found his wedding ring at the Champions Club.
They did?
He was so
intense
on assaulting the buffet that he took off his wedding ring. That's my theory. I think he claims otherwise.
How is it getting in the way?
You know the phrase, America's guest? He really is the Tigers' guest.
Yeah, he is. He's got his press pass. He can get in every game free.
He got really mad on text the other day.
What was he bitching about?
He got mad at me because I think it's slightly weird that he made you go through all those hoops so he'd get his press pass.
Thought it was a little strange.
And I just was like, that's the only
thing. I was amused, though, because it was Maz, and I'm thinking, well, there's probably some material in here. So, yeah, I'll go with you. But I thought it was kind of strange. You know what? In his defense, he would have met me at the club.
Okay. Shit, yeah.
Although after
But he
the
was
game,
blaming the Tigers for it, is what he was doing in the text. And I said, really? That's the only time you could go get it? Because I honestly didn't know. Are they not open 9 to 5 during the week?
No. I think they're always closed.
You have to pick up a press pass?
During the game.
During a game?
That's the best time to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Never before opening day?
No.
He got really mad at me for asking that question. I was being serious.
You'd have to make 2 trips, Mark. Jeez.
Oh, yeah, it's so far away from his house.
I think the thing was, he knew he was going to eat so much that he was afraid his finger would be too big for the ring and it would be stuck on his finger. Oh. Is that possible?
That is possible.
You're going to get yelled at on text. I'm having no part of this.
He claimed he was washing cars at Zot, and so he took his wedding ring off. I don't know.
Wait, then how did it end up?
How did it get to the Champions Club then?
Oh, wait. Okay, wait. Let's no, that, maybe that's not.
It has its own.
He put it in
pass.
His pocket, I think he said.
Oh, I see.
I'll fuck you up. How did it fall out then?
I don't know. It's somewhere during that buffet assault.
Damn it.
Oh, maybe you stuck his hand
I took
in
it off at Zot
because
I was washing my car, put it in my pocket like I usually do. Mm. So apparently he did a headstand at the Champions Club and fell out.
Maybe it was when he was diving at the buffet.
It's possible, too.
He was jostled.
You butt out. How does he end up being the subject of so much discussion?
Because he inserts
vampire.
Himself.
He's not even here.
He's like a large child.
I know he is. He is.
Uh-oh.
Love you, Tommy, even though you'll never hear this. That was the other thing he got mad at in the text, is we claimed he didn't listen to Wednesday.
No.
Because he was mad at how you were describing the trip down to Tiger Stadium or Comerica. Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't catch that part?
Yeah, I did. He's mad about the trip for the press pass.
Yeah. He said he would. Let me just find it.
Well, I think I told it as honestly as I could. We went to the office. He went through a metal detector. They looked and looked and looked. It wasn't there. They sent him down the road. We went down the road. They looked and looked and looked.
He writes us and says, how about this miracle? The Tigers cleaning crew found my ring and turned it into the suite manager. Unreal. Thank God. Because he wanted us to look here, which we did and didn't see it. And then Brandon, did you remove your ring to attack the buffet? Drew, I wondered that. If it's here, it's going nowhere. Minimal cleaning. And then Tom, no, I did it at work. It was appropriate. I was appropriated by Drew. I did not take food home, and it was security's fault in the credential. I want a public apology. Misappropriated fuckers. He actually takes the fuckers.
Ooh. Wow, Trudy.
And then Drew, I didn't say it was your fault. Did you listen firsthand? When did you take off your ring? I listened intently. Drew, I think there's a tattletale. Nope, I listened. You were talking about the Time Magazine top 100 people, and then a bit of a break before Rick came on, and you gave me the Fat Albert, Dumb Lieutenant Columbo treatment.
Whoa.
And I wrote,
what?
I wrote, that's what the show notes said, too.
Oh!
He read the show notes?
Well, that's someone.
Well, that would be his comeback.
He said, I heard the pod. And then somebody said, was it security's fault? You waited till 10% of the season was over to pick up your credential? Well, I was away for the opener. It was my first game.
I did wonder.
It was right where it was supposed to be. The security guard flunked his job. And then I said, you have to get out.
Well, the security guard that let him double park to walk the block.
Same guy?
Different guy. That guy didn't flunk his job.
Well, he should be promoted to this guy.
To me, that was where maybe things were errant. Because I could have walked to the Champions Club. He could have gone. He did. He said, Sid, I can meet you there. Or you can come with me. And you know, like it's a prize to go with him. Well, anyway,
so then serious question, you have to get them on game days? Then Tom replied with, why are you such an asshole? I seriously don't know. I didn't know it was that hard. When do I have time to get down to Comerica Park? Tuesdays?
So I was kind of weary of the whole press pass by the end of the game, yeah. But we're leaving. We've just said, plus we've both eaten a huge meal, Mazbeer. And we go to his car. He did drive me home because my car was at the tire shop from changing that. Miraculous. I still have PTSD from that. It's starting to sink in just what I achieved. But other than that, he did drive back and forth. But on the way home, he circles back to go to this office during the game. And there's a barricade and there's no parking anywhere to be found. And he says, I'm going to double park here. Yeah. So I waited for him to go. And I'm thinking, he's not going to get the press pass. And he did. But I was a little put out.
Took a lot of people.
It was a lot of work, and there was emails back and forth during the game.
So is he going to start filing reports on every game?
I guess so. Yeah,
we'll put it on the website.
Sure,
make him write a blog post.
Okay, so maybe you have not finished or even started working on a financial plan for your future, and maybe you're married, maybe you're getting married, maybe you've got a couple kids, maybe your kids are teenagers, and you're not thinking ahead, maybe you haven't planned for college, maybe you want to start thinking about a 529, maybe you just need someone to help you come up with a plan. That would be Luke Nowacki. Call Luke at 248-663-4748 or email him at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned and other entities and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. I did want to mention that there is a, before we talk to Gary, Righteous Rick is a huge lightning rod on the show.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of anger. There's six people I've counted that want to fight him.
Yeah.
that have and
I think we need a Royal Rumble, Rick versus all six.
Awesome. I don't really want the audience fighting Righteous Rick. I feel like this is a first of all, I don't want to lose audience members over Righteous Rick over anything.
No.
And second of all, we don't really want them fighting. I mean, he wants to fight bare knuckle
for charity.
Well, we could, I suppose that's what he always says. Like that if they were wearing headgear.
Well,
could,
to that
we
point,
could do something. No way. I just don't like the idea.
No way. I'm not writing up that release.
To that point, we do have a boner line today that is 100% Righteous Rick.
So this is a warning to those of you who are triggered by Righteous Rick. And by the way, it's unequivocal to me. This whole phone thing, it's really funny. I've gone through progressions with Aaron Carter's phone. Like, first he's like, oh, my God, what's on it? Then it was like, wait a second. This is kind of screwed. Well, yeah, sort of. Who cares? And not really. Who cares? It's interesting.
There's some pictures in there he could sell.
I think there are two
that are of some value.
But the whole thing, it just feels so rotten to me. I realize it's legal to buy the storage space.
Yeah.
I've seen storage wars on TV. I've seen what happens, and there's a lot of times you go, holy shit, somebody left something worth $300,000 in a storage space someone bought for $800, and you feel like, God, that doesn't seem right to me. And the same way with Aaron Carter's pictures, although Aaron Carter is so fucked up, I don't even think he gives a shit,
to
be honest.
So there's two different ethical things here, because if I found that, I would have no problem looking through it and looking at the pictures
through it. Which, I mean, it just doesn't have a security code.
Some people would think that's a little unethical, but then I don't know if I would go sell it. That's just me, though.
I'd have to have starving kids to sell it, I suppose.
It seems like a lot of work to sell it.
Well, it's pretty shitty. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it, but Rick does what he does, and
it's kind of his job.
I don't mean to judge him. I just really.
Oh, I'll judge him.
And then when I saw the picture with, and I don't know if it's Aaron Carter. I don't want to say it's Aaron Carter. It seems like it's probably Aaron Carter. It's his phone doing this autoerotic thing with a bag over it.
He's just goofing.
Oh, the whole thing, the pictures, it all felt so shallow to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really, it was very strange once I actually read some of them. Anyway, Gary Graff, here to talk about it's a big week. Are you there, Gary?
I am here.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
Good.
Right off the bat, I just want to mention that, I'm following Coachella, and I realized Kanye did a set people loved yesterday.
He did a service. It wasn't a set. It was a service.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm. And then I saw the $225 sweatshirts he was selling. What is that okay? I mean, is that just seems so it just seems rotten to me.
It's tithing.
Kanye-tology.
Tithing to the Church of Kanye.
Yeah, Kanye-tology.
Are the sweatshirts, does some of the money go to charity? I didn't read that part.
It depends on your definition of charity.
Okay.
If Kanye's a charity, or if the health and welfare and feeding and clothing of whatever their names are, Blue, Indigo, whatever the kids are.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask all of you, because you've all probably, I know I've seen Kanye West designs. Does anyone think his crap is worth he charges insane prices for things. Is it that special?
Well, it's got his name on it. That's why some people want it.
If you wear it, it means something. It means cash.
Name me one that is. Name me a sweatshirt you've seen that you would pay that kind of money for.
No, there isn't one.
I know someone who wears Kanye stuff.
What?
Yeah, I do.
Do they look really good?
You write it down.
Does she look really good in his stuff?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good sweater.
I think some of his shoes look kind of cool.
Is she a professional shoplifter?
I think Justin Bieber's House of Drew looks pretty sweet. What?
This person.
Let me see.
Really?
Uh-huh.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, she's a stylish person. Okay.
It's one of his sweaters. Yeah. It's cool, too.
I can't remember anyone charging that kind of money for a sweatshirt at a concert. I don't ever remember anything even close. Do you, Gary?
Not for a sweatshirt. We've seen some of the jackets and, really, really upper-level attire. You fetch that kind of money and more. I've seen, I want to say it's McCartney. I saw a $500 leather jacket or something like that. But yeah, that's a lot of money for a sweatshirt.
I think people scorned his shoes, though. They thought they were pretty ugly.
Oh, they were all right.
Really?
The Kanye ideas?
Yeah. I think he did well. I think he did well with the shoe.
Really?
Nice shoes!
I thought his fashion line went kerplunk at one point. Wasn't he saying he lost a lot of money?
Well, he's had a couple different fashion deals, and I'm actually proud of the fact that I can't tell you what all those are. but I know he had his deal with Adidas for a while, and that had ups and downs. I'm not sure where that is, but, it's at everything he touches has its pluses and minuses and ups and downs.
Now, okay.
The church thing, she talks about that. I think I saw her on one of the late night talk shows.
Who?
Kim.
Okay.
Talking about how he has a church, sort of, in air quotes, but it's more like a place where people can come together and sing.
Mm. Cool.
But not denominational
in
any
cult,
way.
Bro.
And they can buy shoes. They can buy shoes. And
I guess maybe
they sell merch at that event.
Merch shop out on the, the way out.
Anyway, with Coachella, you know, this is the big. This is a huge festival, maybe the biggest. And I'm looking for highlights every day. And so far, I think the biggest highlight I saw, besides maybe Kanye yesterday, was Ariana Grande singing with NSYNC. And I thought, doesn't that say it all about what's going on with music now? I don't know. I just felt like that's a highlight.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, how would you think about how we would feel about some of our heroes, you know, getting together and doing a collaboration you've never seen before, like it or not? NSYNC is, you know, has the kind of status that like Blue Oyster Cult might have for us. Or Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young getting together, and I know that sounds blasphemous. But there's a big part. There's a big part of the world out there that this is that kind of thing's a special moment.
Okay, is this the Coachella Pop Festival, or is it
is now? Certainly, this year it turned into the Pop Festival.
Right, but you still have none of those people play an instrument. And you're talking about a highlight at a music festival? I don't know.
Highlight.
Maybe I'm being silly.
Well, it's an interesting call. But
is there a highlight?
It's almost out of our sphere of experience.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that, Gary. Is there another highlight I missed that I should see, perhaps?
Yeah, what was good?
Nothing flew by me. I really don't pay that much. Especially when you have nice weather like yesterday. I'm not sitting by my computer watching a festival from 3,000 miles away. Plus, last night we had the Motown 60 on CBS.
Ooh.
You know, there's just kind of, I don't mind being at a festival, but I don't know. Something about watching it on the screen doesn't do it for me.
Has that festival lost some cachet?
No.
No?
It's actually, I think it's as hip and cool and important as it ever was, primarily because it's the first of the big ones. It's the season opener.
Well, that's why.
So, and it gets to dictate the tone. Like we just refer to it as the Coachella Pop Festival. Okay, pops what this cutting edge festival wants to do this year.
Okay, I'm going to accept your answer because I don't know what else to do. But I saw something really interesting today, and I didn't get to talk to you beforehand. But did you see Jason Bonham, what he said about Jimmy Page?
About having him sniff coke when he was six. Yeah. Actually, he was 16.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then he backtracked on it.
Very legally.
Yeah, it's a very legal retraction. Are you telling me? Am I to believe that Jimmy Page threatened Jason Bonham and demanded a retraction?
Threatened might not be the right word, but, you know, perhaps implied that life could get tough. You know, keep in mind that Jason Bonham and and what's now known as Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin, now it's known as Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening. It was the Led Zeppelin Experience, but they decided they wanted that name for something they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but basically, Jason Bonham's ability to go out and do a Led Zeppelin show really does depend a lot on the kindness of Jimmy, Robert, and John Paul. And so he does not want to tick off those guys.
It's just interesting.
I'm sure Jimmy did not like that story being disseminated, true or not.
I agree with Jimmy Page. I mean, there are a lot of annoying things that people say, and it sounds like he just made it up. Either that or Page said, do you want me to do this with your, you know, Led Zeppelin stuff? You just take that back, even though I did it. It could be that. But there certainly are a lot worse things said about Jimmy Page.
There are, but, you know, you're dealing with something that could potentially be criminal here, you know.
Well, yeah, but...
Giving drugs like that, harder drugs to a teenager, you know.
Whose father overdosed.
I
don't know what the laws in Britain are about that stuff, if it's past the statute of limitations or not, but...
Why is a dumb thing to say, but I heard Jason Bonham with Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony. It's right. called The Circle. Sammy Hagar and
The Circle. Yeah.
Is that does that look like a something worth seeing? By the way.
Oh yeah. Well, I've seen the Circle before, and they're really, really, really good. And they've made it. They've actually made an album this year, so they're touring in support of something. And it's a good album, but they're still going to go out and play a bunch of Sammy stuff, as well as, you know, a Led Zeppelin cover.
And Van Halen?
And they do some Van Halen / Van Hagar.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because that sounded like an interesting show. And Sammy, I heard him, they were interviewed on Stern, and Sammy said that he has tried to mend fences with Eddie, and it's like a big fuck you. What is with the Van Halens that they just, it's like once you're their enemy, you're just their enemy, period.
Well, to hear Sammy tell it, and I did talk to Sammy a couple weeks back, he said, you expected less?
No, I didn't. I'm glad you said that.
Thank you. He, you know, and he said, you know, they basically, management floats these balloons, trial balloons, without necessarily talking to Alex and Eddie. And, you know, they're trying to drum up work. They're trying to drum up something to do. So this year's thing was saying to Michael Anthony, hey, do you, you know, would you be available if the guys wanted to tour? Or they apparently represent it as it's coming from Eddie and Alex, but it really isn't. Mm. It's coming from management. So, you know, they're just like that. They're peculiar people. Why don't we say it like that?
Yeah, they are.
Speaking of Van Halen, I know you see movies, too, a lot of times before they're out. Have you heard of Lost Weekend, that MTV documentary?
I have, yes. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's coming.
Okay, we got
to... And it sounds like it's going to be the dirt, as it were.
Yeah, there's a really good story about a guy that won a trip to party with Van Halen here in Detroit. We'll talk about it.
Oh my God!
A little bit later, but there's some other good MTV type stories in there.
Wow. Have
you seen I Want My MTV? Have you seen that movie?
Not yet, but okay. It's, you know, those they're not sending the screeners out for yet.
Hmm.
They have their own chemistry about how they do that.
I'd love to see both of those because the guy won that Lost Weekend and he had a head injury apparently a couple years earlier, and they're offering him lines of cocaine and he's drinking Jack and he's partying up a storm and he's kind of like, I want to go home. This is too much.
Yeah, but
they're a lot more careful with those kind of promotions now.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh my God, they did anything back then. There were no
paper
signed.
You know, it was real backstage life then.
Yeah.
Gary,
following Paul Stanley's interview with Dan Rather? Did you get a screener for that on Access?
I watched that like a citizen.
what was revealed?
I don't know. Do you guys think he revealed a whole lot of anything? I mean, he talked a lot about, like he did in his book, he talked quite a bit about his upbringing and how the pursuit of stardom was, you know, to compensate for being an awkward child.
And deformity.
What's the deformity?
He had that issue with his ear. He had one ear, basically, and a hole.
What?
And, yeah.
I didn't know that.
He doesn't have an ear on one
That's
side.
Why everything has to be so loud.
Wow.
He did what?
And, really? Really?
I think he's had it. I'm pretty sure he now has a... I guess fake ear, you know,
like a Spock ear that's been
prosthetic ear, but it doesn't work. You know, it's just there for
cosmetic. Yeah,
but
so people don't freak out.
It was a very Dan Rather kind of let's delve into your past and the sight of you know what makes you put on makeup, walk around in platform boots, and sing Firehouse, you know, or whatever.
Those interviews are really strange because you know Dan Rather seems like a pretty good guy. He seems like he knows more about music than I thought he would. And the people seem to respect him. You know, it's like, well, if Dan Rather says it, it seems like he gets a lot of people to sit down. But they're not my favorite interviews, but they're kind of interesting because it's Dan Rather, to me anyway.
We sort of see him talking with these guys about these kind of subjects. Keep in mind, he has a really good production and research staff. So he is, I don't think he's sitting around listening to, you know, to Kiss Alive a whole
lot. No, probably not.
But he has a staff, but he is still a solid journalist, and he has a staff that gets him prepped, you know, for these interviews.
We have two exciting events this weekend. One is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions on HBO.
Right.
And the Detroit Music Awards. And I'll let you start with whichever one is more personal to you.
Well, that would, of course, be the Detroit Music Awards.
Of course.
We're going 28 strong on Friday night down at the Fillmore, 7 o'clock. Some tickets still available, a few tables still available.
28 strong?
Pardon, 28?
Is it really 20? Oh, my God. Wow.
You know, hashtag glutton for punishment. we're looking forward to a really good show. I say that every year, and most of the times it is. this year we're honoring John Sinclair with the Distinguished Achievement Awards. That ought to be a high time for everybody.
No doubt.
The RFD Boys Bluegrass Band out of Ann Arbor, their 50th. That's 50 years for those guys. We're giving a special achievement award to Big City Rhythm and Blues Magazine. You know, they've been spreading the good news about Detroit music worldwide for more than 30 years. And Paul Reiser, the famed Motown arranger, is getting the Spirit of Detroit Entertainment Music Award, which is something that the city of Detroit, presents through us each year. We'll have performances. Sinclair is going to perform. The RFD Boys are going to perform. Frankie Ballard, big country star, is performing. Mike Skill of the Romantics and Friends are performing. That should be a lot of fun. They're putting together something special. Shortly, who's a kind of an alt-rock singer and songwriter, will be performing. The Mosaic Youth Theater of Detroit will be doing a 60th anniversary tribute to Motown. And then Carl B. Phillips and Friends. Carl is a great gospel singer out of Ferndale, and he's going to be leading an Aretha Franklin gospel tribute, which, you know, everybody's doing Aretha tributes. We figured we cover the gospel ground, you know, so they don't have to sing Respect.
Yes.
And, and especially with the Aretha movie, with that being out, it's definitely the right time to have people singing Aretha Franklin gospel music.
And the Pulitzer,
which I didn't
really understand why she got a Pulitzer, but who cares? She deserves...
You want to know why they're getting Pulitzers? Same reason Bob Dylan did, John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk. Yeah, the Pulitzers are a cool honor, but, you know, journalists hate to say it. There's nothing particularly sexy about us. Okay,
yeah.
It's not the kind... You're not going to get an red carpet at the Pulitzer Prizes. Mm-hmm. You know, to talk about who are you wearing. Yeah, I'm wearing my Drew and Mike t-shirt is probably what you're wearing if you're a journalist.
Yep.
So somebody on the Pulitzer committee figured out one day, why don't we give like Bob Dylan a Pulitzer we give him a special citation. Why don't we give that to John? And so you engage another part of the population in paying attention to the Pulitzer Prize.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, how do people get tickets to the Detroit Music Awards?
You can get tickets at the DetroitMusicAwards.net. Ticketmaster, of course, Ticketmaster.com, and at the Fillmore Detroit box office.
Is it Friday night?
It is Friday night.
Oh, wow.
Doors at 7.
And that's really a who's who in music in Detroit and a lot of radio people and industry types. So it really is a fun event to attend, no doubt.
It's a social event. It's Detroit's Grammy Awards.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is Saturday night. And that is, of course, already happened, so we kind of know what happened. But what is there anything in particular you think will be interesting to see from what you've... We've looked at a lot of performances online and whatnot, and they're on phone, so they don't sound great. But
right,
they have a lot to choose from.
No, they do. They do. I'm looking forward to seeing a nice version, you know, a professional version of All the Young Dudes, which closed it with Ian Hunter rocking with Def Leppard and a few of the other folks who were inductees. Looking forward to seeing the Zombies, who I like a lot, and their induction was long overdue. I think, you know, that it sounded like that was a great performance. The Cure apparently just took the roof off the place.
Yeah, they played songs, I think, didn't they?
I know, yeah, they did like a mini concert, and they were the ones everybody seemed to be raving about at the end of the night, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. The speeches didn't sound like, nothing real. There was no Mike Love moment this time. You know, so I don't know that there's any of the speeches I'm super looking forward to seeing. You know, they started this thing last year, where they're inducting songs now, songs by bands who mostly haven't been inducted and may never be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Steve Van Zandt does that, and he's always pretty good.
Hey, Gary, you mentioned All the Young Dudes. I know you saw Mott the Hoople here, and you had a problem with the sound. What was the issue with the sound?
You know, basically what it was is some old deaf British guy who probably mixed their sound in 1974, trying to mix it in 2019, and it was awful.
Oh boy.
I mean, no matter where you were in the venue, it was basically like the guy said, okay, all the faders, bang, they're all on 10. you know, and no definition, no, just blaring and loud and punishing. And,
You know what? British guys all have bad phones, too, consistently, so yeah. I'm not surprised.
I also wanted to ask you about your review of Muse at LCA. You said the medley of the older songs, when that monster was out, you described it as messy. And I wanted to know, there was a disconnect between you and me because I was just enthralled by the monster.
The monster was amazing. Well,
yeah, if you look at it, if you just let the monster suck you in, you didn't notice that the medley was pretty messy. I mean, it was. It just didn't feel like it was very tightly put together.
Who picks on a medley when there's a monster?
Those five songs were so
good,
too.
They're doing it every night. They ought to be used to the damn monster. Right, you know? It wasn't breathing fire on them or anything.
But what if this was the night that he attacked?
I guess. I don't know.
It was a cool look. Yeah,
it was a great stage effect, you know, very, very Dio. And, but I just didn't think the way the medley was particularly well arranged.
By the way, speaking of Dio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Dio hologram. The
hologram, baby. It's coming.
What do you think?
You know, I saw the Roy Orbison one.
Of course.
And
you loved it.
I loved your review, by the way.
Your review was hilarious.
Your review was really funny.
It just, you know, it was just, and, you know, the thing appearing up from the ground and falling back, you know, back into the ground, and when you can see the violinist through the hologram. Now, I understand the Dio thing. Well, they're not going to have, the Dio things put together better.
Well, we saw little bits and pieces of it on YouTube, and he does sponsorships, Gary.
I'll probably check it out just out of curiosity. Plus, it's always fun to hear those songs.
Was he holding a sponsorship, Trudy? He was.
He had a towel from one of his performances, and then they sort of, you know, like put
superimposed
whoever.
Yeah, boy,
tacky.
Yeah.
He also had the microphone. He pointed the microphone out to the crowd to sing. And there wasn't much of a response. And then he did it again.
They didn't know how to act.
These things are weird. They look very two-dimensional.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I forget the name of the toys, but we used to make them. You'd like bake this little thing of plastic. And
Shrinky
it would turn
into
Creeple people? Creeple people?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But, but yeah, it's kind of like those.
Yeah, I thought of when I saw it was, I don't want to go to that. You know, it's
the
not that I hate
good,
Dio
but
or anything.
Weird.
They did sound good.
Yeah.
And how weird, too, that Roy Orbison's playing with a band of real music. It's just
not
so
just
weird.
Not just a band, an orchestra.
Wow.
He's touring Europe with Buddy Holly this summer.
Oh really?
Boy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, it's Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly.
Are they... Oh, boy.
Is Buddy flying from show to show?
I mean, get ready for it. You're going to see more of these.
I know, but they have to be dead first. I mean, when will they do a live band in hologram form then? Somebody can never...
A whole band?
Mick's heart won't hold out, so they have Mick's hologram with Keith
sure,
and Charlie.
Sure, yeah. That way you can bitch walk all day long.
Well, Keith's never going to die, so it'll be him and four guys on hologram. It'll be the reverse.
I'd go see that.
And he won't know the difference either.
No. Oh, no. You know, Keith's in Keith world.
All right. Gary, good luck with the Music Awards Friday
night. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A lot of work on that. We'll talk to you real soon.
All right, you guys have a great rest of the day.
Hi, Gary. Thanks,
Gary Graff.
Drew, here's that story with about the Van Halen one. They have some other great examples of MTV contests that went awry.
Yeah, this guy, I remember the video of them smashing a cake in his face and spraying champagne all over him, and it just looked like the funniest, wildest, you know.
Yeah.
You got to read that part, though, about the...
The hooker?
Yeah, exactly. Was her name Tammy?
Tammy.
Yeah.
Oh, Tammy the groupie, yeah.
You have to meet Tammy!
Yeah, and she stripped really for him, and they went in the shower, and I guess he nailed her in the shower, it sounded like. Right?
Yeah, and then he remembers, so I think he said that he blacked out, he just woke up in the hotel room and realized he had to do it again the next night, like he's a member of the band.
And Alex Van Halen demanded that he drink a 16-ounce beer, you know, on the spot, and he said, I don't feel good. He's like, too bad.
There's some other stories in there, too. Remember when they gave away John Mellencamp's house?
They gave away a little pink house or whatever. Oh, was it his house?
You know what? It's not his house. They gave away John Bon Jovi's house, too. That story's funny.
The winner had to paint it pink.
Yeah.
It was in a toxic waste.
Oh, the place, yeah.
Oops.
Toxic wake dump. We ended up having to buy another house for the winner. That first one stayed on our books for 5 years before we wrote it off.
To pay the rent on a place that no one would live.
The second house was indeed painted. The winner reportedly moved in for 2 days before selling it.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Asshole. I don't know. It sort of spoils it. They don't care. As long as it looks good on TV. Yeah. In 89, Judy Frappier snagged a spot in the more desirable neighborhood when she won a Bon Jovi's childhood home. She, her then husband, and three children happily moved into the Sayreville, New Jersey digs, but it came with drawbacks. They had to deal with fans of the band. I'd be washing dishes in the kitchen through the window, seeing a camera flash go off, told the Post. But the big downside arrived a year later. Although the prize came with $10,000 plus a motorcycle and traveling with the band to a week of concerts, it wasn't enough to cover the taxes on her winnings.
Oops.
The bill was in the $70,000 range. We had to decide what to do quickly in a distressed real estate market. They wound up selling the place and moving to Houston.
Wouldn't you think that would happen a lot when somebody wins a home?
They should pay the taxes for them. I know. Duh. Patrick McGlynn won Tax Woes and a Batmobile in the summer of 89.
Yeah, a prop story, yeah.
From the series starring Michael Keaton. A prop from the movie lacked an engine but was cool nevertheless. So cool, the fabricators who had provided to MTV angled to get it back. I met three guys who had built the car in a motel room near the movie theater in Richmond where Robert Wool was going to present it to me. They told me they were willing to get the publicity and then buy the car back. They offered to throw in a Corvette. He declined because it felt something out of American Hustle. Oh, get over yourself. What do you mean out of American Hustle? Shut up.
Like a bait and switch because they wanted to buy it back?
It's a little funky. I agree. But
I didn't have an engine.
Not long after he wished he had taken the deal, the contest attracted attention via publications, including People Magazine. Some reported that the Batmobile was said to be worth around $300,000. Then the IRS took notice. They came after him for tax evasion. With his parents' help, he wound up paying the government some $70,000. Adding insult to injury, he had signed an agreement that forbade him from displaying the car for money. He ended up storing the immobile vehicle in an industrial park. My friends and I would go to the Batmobile after work and sit inside, drinking Irish whiskey and smoking joints. After 13 years, he sold it for a low six figures. So he made $30,000. It was a $30,000 prize, essentially. And he got to party in it.
In an industrial park because it had no engine.
It became a burden to me. I offered the Batmobile to the IRS, but they didn't want it.
What are they going to do with the Batmobile? I guess drink Irish whiskey and get high in it.
This documentary sounds like it'd be
fun
to watch. The Van Halen one in. Did you look up Kurt Jefferis, by the way, Brandon?
No, I didn't know anything about this, actually.
We'll look him up.
I can look him up.
Do you want to see the trailer?
Trailer here, real quick?
Sure.
Get ready for the MTV Lost Weekend with Van Halen. Do you have the guts to enter this contest?
Destination unknown. You'll have no idea where you are. You'll have no idea where you're going. And probably no memory of it after you go. But it'll be the whole weekend.
At the time, I knew Van Halen was like the pinnacle of rock and roll bands. They played hard and partied hard.
This postcard, over 1 million were sent in.
I figured, somebody got to win, why can't it be me?
The real partying started after the concert.
It's perfect.
And got out of hand. That's when I think I came clean with the MTV people.
Because Detroit, you're number one. And because Kurt, you're number one too.
There's the cake in the face. How awesome would that have been?
Yeah, I remember seeing him getting sprayed and all that. That was a great promo
made
from it.
All those promos in the 80s they did were really cool.
Yeah, they did. I was reading the story and they were saying, you know, that was when they'd throw anything up against the wall and a lot of it stuck.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought MTV was great back then.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even begin to express how many times when I'm reading about MTV and you read people's comments and go, why doesn't MTV play music anymore? And people seem very unhappy. I don't know. I have no idea what kind of ratings MTV does now versus then. Of course, it was new then. So you can't repeat that.
Well, YouTube killed it. I mean, why would they show videos? Yeah, everyone goes to YouTube to see them.
Except that they were, you know, that was the... It was where you learned about new bands, where you know they would interview a lot of bands. They did some great. Their promotions were what made them
really
great,
cool.
I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy? Mark Goodman?
Mark Goodman?
VJ Mark Goodman.
Yeah.
got it on with their winner. Yeah. His winner went on with.
Yeah, it's in that article. Yeah,
I missed that.
Got it on.
He went. They went. They flew somewhere, and they got along so well that he invited. Yeah.
Was she hot?
At a Mile High thing. I don't know for Goodman. See the picture.
Got on with her on the plane.
Yes.
Holy shit! Wow.
Then there's that. Martha Quinn? And it was a concert, I think, up in Canada, and they were 3 hours late, so they just got to, it was to see the police.
They took a wrong turn and went to Delaware instead.
That's right. The limo driver got lost. By the time they got there with the winner, he got to shake the police's hand, and then they went to their seats, which are way up in the upper deck, and the guy bitched about it the whole time. Which I don't blame him. That would suck.
That's pretty funny. I know people always think, because I remember every time we gave away tickets to any, people always thought they were getting the best seats.
Yeah.
And frankly, they're not always the best seats, depending on the show. I mean, radio stations, I don't know, they got kind of, I don't want to say cheap, but they just didn't want, I mean, record companies stopped giving the shit away like it was nothing. And so when you got tickets, it was usually a show that was not doing real well. And they wouldn't always give you the best seats because those are the ones that usually sell.
Yeah.
You know, the best seats. So, anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's our job, though, to make it sound really good.
Yeah. I think people always believe the people really good seats.
Not like back then we were going to go on the air and go, here's some shitty seats. You want them?
You want to go?
These shitty seats? Go.
Well, I always appreciate it when it said lawn seats. At least you knew the seats were lawn seats, and some people like sitting in the lawn. How about my childhood friend, who, by the way, is being questioned as my childhood friend? It's being called fake news that Jim Irsay is my childhood friend. Jim Irsay bought John Lennon's piano.
That's pretty cool.
For somewhere around $1 million. He owns the On the Road manuscript by Jack Kerouac. He also owns a manuscript of the Alcoholics Anonymous book that was originally written. He owns the original manuscript of that, which is worth a lot of money, I guess.
Really? I like that he'll unroll the On the Road, the Kerouac manuscript. Unroll it and read it and show people.
Well, that was when he was.
Why not? He owns it.
I know the people that sold it to Jim Irsay were appalled when they read the story about the fact that, you know, he was smoking cigarettes in the room with the manuscript.
That's his.
People were just grabbing it and unrolling it and looking at it. Oh my God, this is cool.
Oh, they kept it in pristine condition until.
Well, yeah, it was, you know, 50 years old. It's worth $2.5 million.
It was written on a scroll, right?
Yeah, it was on a scroll. Yeah. So hopefully it takes better care of the John Lennon piano than.
Apparently. Are you going to try and hit him up so you can go see it?
Yeah. You're not his friend. He doesn't follow you on Twitter.
Is that what someone said?
Yeah, I tweeted about the fact that I used to do bong hits in the bathroom of the guy who bought the John Lennon piano in high school. And this guy said, he doesn't follow you. He's not your friend. Fake news. He called it fake news. And then Chet Kopic died. The inspiration for Chet Chit Chat.
Yeah.
The great character on WLUP-FM in Chicago.
I mean, Chuck Swirsky, right? Wasn't Chuck also part of it?
I think it was more Chet Kopic. I always got the feeling it was Chet Kopic. I don't know how much Swirsky had to do. Does Maz claim that? Is that a Maz claim? Are we talking about Maz again?
I thought Bruce Wolf said that.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
He probably did. But because it was Chet, and it did sound more like Chet Chit Chat or Chet Kopic. But Chet Kopic was a reporter. You know, I read an interesting story about him, too. And I hope other people are as interested in these weird stories as I am. But he was the superstar sports guy in Chicago in 81. And he got the job at WMAQ. And I forgot what market he came from. But he was doing great. You know, he'd gotten over in Chicago. And MAQ was doing, I think, may have been the number one newscast at the time. Well, he didn't like it always living up to, you know, look, sports has to be this long and this long only. Uh-huh. And so he would go long because, you know, he thought the Bears.
It's tale worth telling.
The Bulls, whatever, you know, the Michael Jordan years. I guess it was early Jordan.
Bears!
That was too important to be limited. Well, you know, newscasts are tight. They got to be 30 minutes. Anyway, one night he went too long. And they missed the open of the Tonight Show, which was live.
Yeah.
And so that was a big deal. And he put out a 23-point memo about all the reasons why it was bullshit that they were limiting sports, I guess, to such a short segment, and they just blew him out. They just fired him.
Oh, wow.
And he never quite returned to that position of glory. Although, you know, because of Chet Chit Chat, Bruce Wolf's character, he got talked about so much because the character was so popular that AM 1000 hired him, and he did a show at night after Steve Dahl. I believe it was after Steve Dahl.
Oh.
And so he kind of revived himself out of that silly... That character was so funny.
Yeah, it's a great
character. I said, Bruce really ought to do a... Maybe he's done one.
And I'll tell you who would have thought the PGA Championship, barely the fourth major, the Players has taken a run of the fourth, would be the best golf tournament of the year. We're tucking Phil's resurrection. We're tucking Ricky Fowler as the Aladar of golf, second to affirm to the Triple Crown of 78. We're tucking an impromptu foursome on the last hole to beat the sun setting at another season. Heck, we're not talking. We're ecstatic over Rory McIlroy, the back-to-back major winner, the great Irish hope, only 10 majors behind Tiger now and 14 behind Jack, but no need to rush. And be waved up to not only the 18th green yesterday, but to the green jacket in 8 months from now. We have a whole winter to contemplate. The greatness of Rory. Phil almost eagle chipped in the darkness and the thunder to force Rory to birdie from a long bunker on 18. It was like a crowded elevator on 18 or a life raft, and poor Ricky Fowler. So close, and the difference between him and Rory so small. For Ricky, the key is the process, he says. For Rory, the key is the process, he says. So that's the long and short of it, the vowels, that is. But why did Rory get to play in the little daylight left? Why didn't he have to opt to wait till today or play in the darker by winning? Who cares? The guy is great. He even caught the lid off the Wanamaker trophy afterward when it slid off. It's just too bad there isn't another major for two-thirds of a year. Not even the old skins game over Thanksgiving. In 8 months, the Masters. And 9 months from now, I reckon there'll be a lot of babies born named Rory. Pregnant women will reserve judgment till after the second weekend in April at Augusta. How about naming kids after Javier, that is in Baez? He struck out only twice yesterday after striking out three times Saturday and four times Friday. He's improving. Yeah, it's all just practice till next April for him as well. That is a lobotomy lot on sports up chit chit chat.
It's hard, man, to talk like that. I love it when he gets breath.
I know, the tangents were what I always
really
loved about
good
chit
writing.
Chit chat. Yeah, Bruce is great. And he's busy on Twitter. Oh, is he busy on Twitter?
Yeah. Picking fights.
Sometimes.
Love to. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to talk about, there's another documentary I got real interested in. I don't even know where to see it. On WBCN.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I Boston. Love WBCN.
BCN was, I mean, it was Legend. Boston. It was everything. And I was reading a story about the documentary and all these people, listeners, people who are part of WBCN in Boston, and business people, and just people, even athletes were talking about it, and they were suggesting that this station was the cool connection. It just was. It was everything. It was, the station was all on the same page. All the personalities were very progressive types. They were everywhere. They were at comedy. They had comedians on when they were in town. They had musicians that were on when they were in town. They broke local bands. They would play a local band in rotation. They knew all the national bands. They broke U2. They broke The Clash. A lot of these bands were indebted to BCN for doing that. I mean, they did all the things that we always wanted our radio stations to do.
Yeah.
Why do we play this new band? Well, nobody's playing it. The chit chit chat sound-alike say. No, I mean, you know, nobody wants to take a chance in radio. And that's actually what killed BCN, was when they were no longer independently owned and they were this giant, you know, 2,000 radio station or 10,000 radio station company, and suddenly they couldn't just do things because they wanted to do things, and they did great promotions, and their news, they had a point of view, they were liberal, the news was liberal, had a liberal slant, they had very unique personalities, the personalities talked, it was not a jukebox by any means. Mark Parrino was on in the afternoons. He got in a lot of trouble at one point.
Oh, boy.
That's worth discussing. Yikes. But
that's weird that you're talking about this, because I was just thinking about him the other day driving around in the afternoon, remembering that I was driving around there in the afternoon and heard him go, "Hey, nobody's got pot. Anybody got pot out there?" And he was making calls from people. And I was like, you could never say anything, even if it were agreed. Everybody was just sort of laughing about it. You could never, ever say anything.
Were there
like
any other big names from that station that came out of there?
Mark Parrino, Charles Lockwoodera did the morning show for, was it 28 years? The Big Mattress.
Yeah.
And Carter Allen is the guy that met U2 when they came to America. He's still friends with them. He wrote a book on U2. He's on CLX now. He was on the middle of the day. Ken Shelton was there for a long, long time. Maxine Sartori was the one that played Aerosmith, who they thanked at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people that radio people might know. But
it's called The American Revolution, is the name of the doc.
Yeah, and reading about it, I just thought, wow, this is everything. This is when radio had a soul. When, you know, and people talk a lot about ABX here. You know, the ABX was really a truly sort of underground station. And, you know, personalities had a point of view, and they were, you know, they were encouraged to do things. And they played album sides, and they did crazy stuff. And then the more corporate radio got, the more soulless it got. And BCN, you know, I have to hand it to them, because we competed with them at WAAF. And they were really... They just owned that one, that they had that cool thing going, even though, you know, AF always played harder rock. Uh-huh. So AF kind of had that, maybe, and AF was a great station in its own right, but you just couldn't beat BCN. You just weren't going to beat them.
No, because you can't beat authentic.
Yeah, they were, and they were. And actually, AF was pretty authentic, too, and they had a lot of great people through the years before I was there and after
you were
I was
there.
Bob Rivers and Chuck Nolan, who's been at ZLX forever, and Annalisa, who went out to San Francisco, and Opie and Anthony, and Greg Hill, who's there now. I mean, Boston's a cool radio market, but...
Was it 104.1?
Yes, 104.1.
Do you know what it is today?
It doesn't exist.
Well, it's WWBX, and it's The Mix 104.1. And it's one of its sister stations is WAAF.
Oh,
because, you know, conglomerates.
Everything up.
What does the Mix play? Like Yacht Rock?
Yeah, pretty much, I would think.
They had a gay show in the 70s. Like, you know, when weekend programming, there was actually weekend programming? They had weekend programming.
What was the gay show?
You know, it just talked about being gay. This is in 78 or something. I mean, it's way ahead
Boston,
of time.
Pretty liberal.
Very liberal. The production was the best. The parody songs were spectacular. Billy West worked there. Remember Billy West? Stimpy. And yeah, he did their production. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was fantastic. And their parodies sounded like the original song. It was amazing. Mm. You couldn't believe it wasn't the song, but the words were, of course, parodies. They did those. They did a lot of political montages with music and comedy and Nixon or, you know, Reagan or whoever it was, and they always opposed the Republican. I mean, that was Charles, and I think the station just generally. It just came from a place, and it was everywhere. I mean, they were everywhere. They were just anyone in Boston knew BCN, probably, you know, like Riff in Detroit. I'm not trying to say, like, Riff is not as good as or as important as WBCN, but BCN... There was a little more that went into it than what I think Riff turned into.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
BCN was a very collective thing. You knew everyone on BCN. The part timers were well known on BCN.
Yeah, it was sort of interchangeable with the people and woven into the fabric. And
it was more of a. I mean, you definitely had the sense that it was more of a youth hippie, you know, progressive.
Yeah.
It had a soul. I guess that's the best way I can say it. And it reminded me of the documentary on the station in Long Island that was
L-I-R.
Fighting to play new music all the time. And they were actually meeting planes with new records, imports, to get them on the air first. And this is when they said, the other stations weren't even playing. They're going, there's no research on that band yet. And here they were trying to get it 3 days earlier than they would when they'd already be the first to play it. And they broke all those new wave bands. And they eventually... you know, busted into the New York market with a crappy signal. They started getting good ratings in New York. So, I don't know. You know, it's fun to be on the radio. I have to say that the LZ thing has been very cool for us and for the podcast and hopefully for them, too. I think it seems like it's getting really good response from everything I see. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking...
Times have changed.
Yeah, times have changed. Yeah, the staffs are much smaller. And I don't know where it's going. I mean, I'm hearing that we're going to be able to treat our radio like Alexa and ask for, you know, hey, sure. play WLLZ.
Sure.
Play the Drew and Mike show. I think that would hurt radio very, very badly.
Well, they'll just stream.
Yeah, because you could ask for anything. It would require no thought. It'd be like turning your radio on, and the Drew and Mike podcast is on there with all the radio stations and with all the other pod. I mean, you ask for it's
you,
like
you
Alexa.
Can do that now.
I feel threatened by that.
I mean, that's how I listen in the house, is through Google Home.
Well, yeah, no, a lot of people are, but I mean, that in the car.
Oh, in the car, yeah.
In the car, that's a game changer. I mean, that's a huge thing, because radio has that advantage. It's the easiest thing to listen to in the car by far. And all I could think of was that radio would probably fight that however they could. I don't know how you fight it, but generally, if you're willing to spend money and you lobby, you can stop almost anything. I don't know how you could stop Alexa in a car, but... I mean, I would love to have it too, because I'm on my phone. I'm listening to more radio than I used to, honestly. But I can't imagine not being able to use my phone in the car and play my own music.
Yeah. Sure.
And podcasts too.
After my show, you mean?
Well, yeah.
Of course. I've been popping around. I'm still popping around the three rock stations. I'm. What is it? What is LLZ playing? What is Riff playing? I think LLZ's doing a good job.
Thanks.
And I know. Yeah. I don't know when they get new ratings. Did they just got them a couple weeks ago or last week?
Yeah. It seems like they're always walking around the building. Well, you know, people meters. So.
Oh, yeah. No, they have always a pretty good idea how they're going to be, too. And things are looking pretty good over there, from what I understand. I mean, the ratings were good. And it wasn't all WLZ, too. Some of it was alt 106.
It seemed like nobody was in the building today, though. Did a lot of people have today off for some reason?
Yeah.
For the,
really?
For the egg roll.
Yeah. Super quiet.
Easter Monday egg roll.
Yeah, Easter Monday.
Right?
Why are people off the day after
Easter? I don't know.
Because
all I know is I wasn't.
This is the Catholic school spring break week.
Oh, is it?
It always was.
Oh,
yeah.
So the entire week. Okay.
Yeah, which means
guys,
a five-year-old that's not going to school this
week. Oh, poor you.
You know what's weird about being off a couple days?
Total disaster.
Poor Mark.
Her being off school?
He's got to find more ways to kill time.
Man. That's hard, too.
I love having her.
There's only so many zoo trips. Jeez.
I know.
I mentioned up front that Righteous Rick is a huge, huge lightning rod. And we had a lot of boner line activity. People like the boner line. I noticed that the LLZ played it.
I know.
Yeah. It was really funny. It was fun to listen to.
It was.
Because you don't hear a lot of production on radio.
I know. Oh. Brandon.
That was weird. Hearing drops on radio?
Yeah.
No.
Why was that weird? It was like, hey, this is kind of fun.
It was.
So
I was really excited.
I know. It was cool. Anyway, they played the boner line. And so anyway, we had a lot of boner line calls about Righteous Rick. And so
you can't just have complaints about Rick. And
he deserves the right to respond. I mean, it's almost like equal time. I think there's a law about this. If Righteous Rick is discussed, then he has the right to respond.
Yes,
I think it's part of the equal time law
of
the FCC. So Brandon got Righteous Rick's response to every boner line call.
We couldn't with every boner line call because there were so many of them.
Oh boy.
But I got about 15 of them.
He was fired up.
Now, did you play him any of the complimentary calls?
No, there were none.
Well, I started off with one complimentary call, and then they all went downhill from there.
Okay. Well, I think everyone deserves to have their point of view aired, and that's the point of the boner line. And how wonderful that because of the equal time laws that Righteous Rick, we get to hear his response as well. Because, I'm sure in many cases he's going to agree with the people and he's going to change his ways.
Oh, for sure.
We're looking forward to that.
209-66-BONER.
All right, let's find out.
That's the phone number.
Righteous Rick shit was hilarious. Playing Aaron Carter was priceless. Some of the best radio I've ever heard. Keep that guy on. Fucking hilarious.
See, guys, I told you that guy came over to the righteous side. Good call, buddy. Love it.
You guys are talking about Righteous Rick, the tool bag, a.k.a. tool bag. There's no way anybody's going to pay $200,000. He'll be lucky if he gets $500. What a toolbox.
I got three guys lined up already for thousands and thousands of dollars. The guys, I'll send them a picture of a bunch of cash laying next to me, and then you can fondle my tool bag with my money in it.
I will fight Righteous Rick anywhere, anytime, any place, anywhere, and I won't cancel.
You have to leave your name, who the fuck you are. Don't give me that, oh my God, I think I'll knock him out. Dude, Get in fucking line, tough guy.
This one's for Mark. Uh-oh. You love busting Righteous Rick's balls, man, and he gives it back to you pretty good, but I think it would be awesome if you guys did fight. That would be a fun event, man. Think about it.
Me and Mark has discussed it. Mark has declined.
I like to keep my pants on around sweaty men.
But I'll keep working on him. Maybe we'll work on Brandon next, buddy.
I'll beat your ass, Rick.
What a freaking meathead this Righteous Rick guy is. Uh-oh. Nobody's going to give him $20 for that stupid phone.
I don't know who the fuck you're calling a meathead. If it's the innuendo that I think, I really appreciate it. You know how us Italians are.
I think you're giving that Rick guy way too much time. He's a dumbass. He's got a scratchy voice. I'm not all that interested in hearing him explain what's going on in that phone.
Hey, idiot, why do I got to be a fucking dumbass? When you guys call in and you say shit like that, it's because you're jealous. And my scratchy voice is classic.
Right, Rick, nice, he's full of shit off his phone. He's someone on his words. He's full of shit.
Drew and Mark and Brandon already looked at the phone, so everybody knows I'm not full of shit. Get on your fucking knees and apologize to the wonderful, great Righteous.
I think you assumed you gave Righteous Rick a little bit of credit with the Ming Dynasty. I listened to it again, and I don't think he knows he knew what you were talking about. I think he just rolled with it and acted smart. If he knows a lot about it, I'll blow myself. But I don't think he does.
Uh-oh.
Get ready to start blowing your fucking sonat, because the Ming Dynasty was from the 1300s to about 1560-ish, and I was actually in Kowloon. It's one of the islands off Macau and Hong Kong Island, and I was actually there, and I did buy a Ming Dynasty piece. I know more about history and antiquities than you've ever read, buddy.
Righteous Rick, being the idiot he is, can you tell him it's called a picture? Not a picture. You're not pouring something into a glass. You're looking at a picture.
I didn't really understand the words that came out of your mouth, but a picture is worth 1,000 words, but my pictures are worth thousands of dollars.
Is Bastuba even an Italian last name? I don't know. I looked it up on some ancestry sites and stuff. I'm getting high incidence of Welsh, Saudi Arabia, no joke. And either something Pacific Islander, I think Indonesia or the Philippines or something. I think he's claiming Italian. Uh-oh. And he's not even Italian.
Heads up!
DNA results were 50% Sicilian, a little bit of Turkish, a little bit of Egyptian, Russian, Romanian, Bulgarian, and a little bit of German.
Please, please, please tell me that you're not going to have that lame Righteous Rick dude on the show anymore. Oh my God, he sucks so bad. He has Aaron Carter's phone. Oh my gosh. Is there anyone lamer in popular music than Aaron Carter? Aaron Carter is to music as Righteous Rick is to MMA fighting. They're both insignificant and suck.
Oh, Aaron Carter made over $200 million.
What?
He's got a book coming out. He's got tour dates up the wazoo, and he'll be here. So maybe you're insignificant, and you want to call in to bust my chops so you can get your little shout-out. So there's your shout-out. Now shut the fuck up.
Dude, Rick sucks. Totally and completely sucks. Rick sucks.
You might as well just come on over to the righteous side, buddy.
Rick is the most self-aggrandizing piece of shit. And he's going to get locked up for extortion. And we never have him on again. Oh, my God, he sucks.
I already talked to an entertainment lawyer out in L.A.
Great lawyer.
The phone was bought legally with a legal bill of sale. It's not extortion. It's called business. All it is Aaron Carter wants his phone back. All he's got to do is hand me money and he can get his phone back.
Yeah, this is about Righteous Rick, that delusional idiot. And he acts like he's so tough. I train at a gym
with him. I saw him there a couple times a few years back.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't know how to fight.
Oh.
Mister, you trained with me. I don't know how to fight. Why didn't you leave your name and say who you were that you trained with me? I fought four fights at the Palace and Meadowbrook Theater and beat all the guys, and I am 4-0, so you can say whatever the fuck you want, buddy.
No more Righteous Rick. No more!
That just sounds like you were having sex with a billy goat. No more! I'm never going away. My popularity is getting bigger from Cali, Florida, to Michigan.
What?
I got fans in Ireland, man.
What?
Fans in Australia. You say you hate me after you get done banging your goat, but you gotta tune in to me.
Wow. Wait, what's going on with Righteous Rick in Ireland?
I didn't know he had fans all over the world.
Is it Australia?
Man.
And California and Florida? Brandon, do you know anything about this?
I don't. I haven't actually confirmed his fan bases or his fan pages, but...
Can you search on Righteous Rick and just see if there's something...
I'm sure someone will question it.
Well, all I can say is you can call the boner line at 209-66-BONER, and unfortunately, due to equal time laws, we do have to give them the response. And if those two guys want to leave their names, that would be really...
Yeah, you got to leave your name if you're going to fight them.
Yeah, you got to really do.
How the hell is you going to fight them?
He's pretty good at comebacks.
Yeah, some of them were pretty good.
Some of them weren't.
I'm still, you know, this
nice
phone thing.
Comeback!
Honestly, it was so strange seeing. I'm thinking about this Aaron Carter phone a lot more than I ever thought I would.
Yeah.
Probably a lot deeper than Righteous Rick is. He sees it as, you know, it just looks like cash to him. I see it as this. When did he become a star? When he's 12 or 13 or something?
Yeah, really early.
He seems to me like he has never grown up.
Yeah.
It's all about the hottest girl that's the closest to him or the hottest guy. And really not much more. I mean, it just, the exchange with...
Oh, no.
Meg!
One's upstairs, one's down here.
Yeah, boy. The exchange with his brother, it just was so grim to me. And these girls.
Well, he was an
idiot.
Addict.
These idiot. Yeah, I know he's an addict, too.
He's an addict?
Yeah, he's an addict.
These
cocaine
idiot,
addict.
I can't believe how many stupid girls there are. I don't mean to pick on
well,
women,
that's,
but
I mean,
isn't it sad?
Forget
that,
Aaron Carter. I could see why he's doing it. He's in his 20s. He's a dude, but.
He's 31. Actually.
Well, at the time on the phone.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know
okay.
if he's doing it now. I'm
probably.
Sure, maybe. But regarding the phone, he's in his 20s and he was an addict. So. But who are these girls that think they're going to get something out of him?
I would think
they could,
honestly,
they could do better.
You know, if you talk to Megs, if you talk to any of these guys, you know, who were hot when they were 20, he was hot when he was 13.
Yeah,
they get over that. It gets old. Even Motley Crue, I think, got over it somehow. Although I know,
do you think
over.
He's over it now, Aaron Carter? Now that he's allegedly clean,
you know, maybe,
and out of the
maybe,
closet.
Maybe he is. Is he clean?
Says he is.
And by the way, what about the $200 million? Can we verify that number?
Well, Rick said it was so. That's all that matters.
I want equal time on Righteous Rick's facts. Let's see what his celebrity net worth is. We did check that already, didn't we?
Well, yeah, and Rick said that another one said he was at, what, negative $2 million.
Well, when did he make $200 million? I don't know.
And what did he make $200 million off of? $200
million? Doesn't $200 million seem a little high for Aaron Carter?
It did seem high. I didn't think he had that many records. And, of course, his big songs were like, I Want Candy, you know, a cover of I Want Candy.
Can you check his Billboard history, like what his biggest hits were?
Celebrity Network says 400,000.
But that's current.
Yeah, but if he made $200 million, how could he only have $400,000? And by the way, why was he ditching out an entire replacement store or a tire store like Bell Tire down in Georgia? Because he was begging someone to put tires on his car. Then he met people there, I think, to sign autographs, and they gave him some money, and he was supposed to pay, and he bolted. That doesn't sound like a guy with $400,000.
The $200 million comes from him saying that he made more than $200 million prior to his 18th birthday. So that money's long gone, if that even happened.
He did have two songs in the Hot 100. One of them, Aaron's Party, Come Get It.
Wait, two songs in the Hot 100? That's he's nothing. A bit of
old school. What year is this?
Oh, nine?
People still buy records then?
Maybe a few. He's a fucking kid!
It's like Matty B.
Yeah. And then he also had...
Wait, that's 10 years ago?
Well, that's when the video was published.
Okay. So he looks 13 or 12 to me.
And then he also had That's How I Beat Shaq. That one was a hit, too, apparently.
How big a hit?
I hope Shaq's in this video. And it goes, and it goes, and it goes a
little something like this. Hit it! Let me fast forward to the actual basketball playing so we can see if it's Shaq.
Aaron's Party, Come and Get It was 2000, so people bought records then.
It is Shaq.
I mean, it was a gold record. 200 million still seems like a lot.
Two songs in the Hot 200, in the Hot 100? Get out of here. That's nothing.
But he did a lot of work with, what, Nickelodeon and...
Oh, right.
And his mom stole all the money, didn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, is he...
Well, no, she did.
Is he really the genius behind those songs, though?
No,
or
no, it was Shaq. Shaq was the genius behind that one.
Trudy, call me crazy. I don't think that song has a lot of staying power.
What?
No, but I was somewhat more impressed than I was before that he could... That he, you know, I mean, he did a good job rapping it, but he didn't sing it or musically arrange it.
Are you going to the show if he comes to town?
God, no.
He had 5 studio albums and 7 headlining tours.
Oh, well, there really? You go.
And then he had 4 co-headlining tours, 3 opening acts, including the Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears, okay. Which is pretty big.
200 million before 18, I could see that now with all those tours.
And a lot of TV on Nickelodeon. And,
one episode of 48 Hours Mystery. I don't know why.
Where is he playing on the current tour? Can you check the venues, Brandon?
The Love.
I mean, maybe he's playing Little Caesars Arena.
Unlikely.
Kind of doubt it.
Maybe he's playing, I don't know. Maybe he's playing where Roger Stone's playing.
I mean, honestly, I think the fact that it's Aaron Carter's phone makes this a lot funnier.
Hilarious, yeah. There's very few people that would make it more
funny.
Honestly, right. I can't
you're
think of many.
Right. No, you're absolutely right about that.
He's coming to Flint.
Oh, right, yeah.
It almost seems like Rick could talk to Aaron Carter.
Oh, he will talk to Aaron Carter. Make no bones about it.
I hope
at
he
some
does.
Point.
I can't wait to hear about that.
Have you ever been to the Capitol?
I'm going to predict right now that Aaron Carter blows him off. It's just a prediction.
I think he won't. I think he won't care. Yeah, publish him, man. Make whatever you can make. I think that's what he'll say.
Yeah, because he doesn't have the money to buy it.
He's playing the Prophet Bar, Elm Street in Dallas, Texas. The Scout Bar.
Okay, what's
in Houston,
the Prophet
Texas.
Street Bar look like? That doesn't sound like a great.
He's doing the Whiskey A Go Go.
Yeah, Whiskey A Go Go.
A Go Go.
It's not that big of a place.
It's a small place.
Yeah,
he's playing the Minnesota Zoo in July.
What?
He's doing the zoo.
Oh boy. I wonder. I bet he's not playing Whiskey A Go Go on Friday or Saturday.
Did
night.
You see who's playing with him?
Oh,
Ryan Cabrera. That could have been better if Righteous Rick had Ryan Cabrera's
that
cell
would
phone.
Be, I agree. No, I think I prefer Aaron Carter.
Yeah, it's Aaron. Aaron probably it's has close. More dirt on his cell phone than Ryan Cabrera would. Was O-Town was the opening for or was O-Town opening for him too? I'm like, I thought I saw.
It says Aaron Carter with Ryan Cabrera and O-Town, so it sounds like they're opening for him.
What a nostalgic tour.
O-Town is O-Town a draw?
They had
is
one
Aaron
song,
Carter
right?
a draw?
No, I don't think so.
Well, they were on an MTV show. Where's
I mean,
that making
first
a band?
Of all, I don't think the girls that were squealing for Aaron Carter, are they even squealing for him anymore? I mean, he looks really skinny and not so good.
I think the guys are.
Oh, dudes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe being gay was a career move or being bi.
The big question is Ashley Parker Angel still a member of O-Town? Do you remember him?
Yes.
He had his own show. These are all Lou Pearlman people, too.
I know.
Aaron Carter should do Fist Fest.
Oh, God.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Trudy, that's a great call.
I love it. Full circle.
That was uncalled for.
No,
it wasn't.
Correct.
No, it was absolutely called for. Believe me, they're booking it right now if they're listening. I honestly, I cannot get over this business that...
This music blows.
Yeah, the kid, please turn this off. I can't take it. I can't. This business that... The highlight of Coachella was Ariana Grande and NSYNC. Does that bother anyone else as much as that bothers me? That seems insipid.
It doesn't bother me. That's what Coachella is now. It's pop.
Coachella,
music.
What? 2 years ago, they had Bob Dylan.
That was
Rolling
old
Stones.
Cella.
I know those old cello.
Hey, different version.
There were some. I mean, those were big acts. Mm-hmm. Big acts that mean something. And
yeah, but last year the big headliner of Coachella was Beyonce. And that's what that documentary, I'm sure you've heard that.
Oh, a film by Beyonce.
Whatever. But it was based on that, performance.
Go on Netflix. Oh, by the way, Lunatics.
Oh, that's all it is.
Lunatics.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah, Chris Lilley of Summer Heights High fame. Oh, my God. Lunatics is awesome.
If I could recommend a show that a lot of people probably haven't seen, it's got to be Summer Heights High first. Summer High. I was
looking for it on demand, Mark, and I couldn't
Summer
find
Heights
it
High?
Anywhere. I couldn't find
HBO
it on demand.
HBO on demand should have it, right?
Oh, HBO on demand. I didn't think about that.
Lunatics is great. I've only seen, I think I'm 3 or 4 episodes in. It's great. It's no Summer Heights High, though. Don't you
think it's, you know, it was growing on me as it goes on. I love the real estate agent.
His big ass.
His, really, yeah. Great character.
I like the Instagram, the 13-year-old asshole kid.
Yeah, we're talking about something you've never seen, probably. Try Lunatics. If you watch Summer Heights High, you'll love Lunatics. If you didn't, shame on you. You should watch both of them. If you like funny, character-driven TV, it's one guy. He does all
Australian.
The characters, guys and girls, and really good. I don't know what else to say, but watch it.
It's no Game of Thrones.
I can't wait till the season starts next Sunday.
Mike
Brandon
Valeni.
Got really mad that I said that earlier.
Come on. You
Mike Valeni is upset.
Whoa, what about that?
Blasting Game of Thrones.
Why?
Which is really funny because I'm thinking, Mike Valeni watches Game of Thrones? That's all I can think of. Mike Valeni watches
Game of Thrones.
Isn't
there a game on opposite of it?
I know. It was weird. And then, of course, he said it better have some way. What did he say? Like, pants busting stuff coming.
No one's even going to remember how boring the first 2 episodes are after this season because it's going to be so goddamn epic. Listen, they have to finish the character arcs because they're going to kill everybody off.
Well, Mike Valeni's not happy about it.
I agree with you, Brandon, but so the last 2 episodes were, 60 minutes long each. They could have combined those to about 30 minutes.
Oh, no, they couldn't.
They made it into like a sitcom last night with all these reaction shots.
Oh, stop.
Yo, look at Tormund hitting on Brienne. What, you didn't like it?
I fell asleep during part of it, but could have been wine.
It was okay. And what a dick move.
This is all leading into the longest and most expensive battle
scene
that's
starts.
Ever been filmed in the entire history of television and
like,
film.
Just admit. Just admit, they should have just made this like a 2-hour movie.
So the wolf came back, though. They had the wolf in a cameo.
Yeah, Ghost was in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Arya, we saw her side.
Was
boob.
There any electricity in the whole show?
There was fire. There was flame.
But it's really funny. So the girl who, when did the season start? Was it 2010?
Yeah, Maisie Williams.
She was like 14 when the series started, so she's always been this little kid that's grown up. She finally got it on last night.
Is she hot?
In the internet, I think the one thing that spiked was the search of her age.
It is, yeah.
Because everyone was freaking out, like, she can't have sex yet, and she's 22.
Yeah. But she looks young. But she had a nice side boob. Good for
her. I love her. I think she's great. I think that's the only.
Oh, there was side boob.
But it's to the point now, Drew, where I'm rooting for the dead people because I hate all the living people.
Oh, stop it!
I just want them all to die. Go, Night King.
Jesus.
So how many episodes are left?
4. 1 next week.
No, there's 4, and they're all about an hour and 20 minutes. So they're all longer ones. It's going to be an epic
can't wait
battle.
It's
going to be awesome.
I can't wait to see how long this battle is going to go on. I wonder if it's going to be exhausting.
It'll be
long.
2 episodes.
It's going to be exhaustingly long.
Next week will be the start of it. The following week, the end of it. Then the next week, the battle with Cersei. And then it'll wrap up into a nice bow. And no more Game of Thrones.
I can't wait till everybody in the crypt dies because they made such a big deal about all the innocent people and all the kids and all the old people going out of the crypt. They're going to be the first to die and then turn dead and then kill real people.
You should just give up on it then. Don't even watch it next week.
Oh, man.
Oh, I can't. The season
contentious. Starts. Jeez.
Quit bitching about it.
What, do you own stock in it?
No, but I'm tired of everybody complaining. Like,
you own land in Westeros?
It's going to be fantastic.
Get a room with Game of Thrones. Jesus.
It's a great show.
I'm not complaining. I just think the first 2 episodes.
Look in the PR department?
We're a little weak. I love the show. I will be there 9 o'clock again.
And that's when I masturbated to Game of Thrones.
Good one. Dick move, though, by Jon Snow telling her that, by the way, I'm the heir. And we're going to have this battle with dead people.
Mm-hmm. And you're
wait?
My aunt.
Couldn't he wait?
Wiener, 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 wiener.
You know, this George Zimmerman story.
Oh,
I'm so tired of this dick. First of all, you know, whenever this happens, when someone does something, okay, I'll just use O.J. Simpson as an example. or Beretta, Robert Blake,
yeah,
or George Zimmerman, they all were involved in the death of someone where I felt like they all got a ridiculous break. I still don't understand, how did George Zimmerman get off this? How did? Can you remind me?
He was attacked. Because the other side was dead, Drew.
Okay, I understand that. The guy was walking to his house. Someone's calling the police saying, hey, there's a stranger in my area, and I've been, I do security, and I'm worried about it. And they said, sit right there.
Yeah.
We'll be right there. So the police are going to go check out the person who lives there, who's going to his house.
Yeah.
But no, George Zimmerman can't wait. He has to go confront the person himself. A brawl starts. I think we know who the aggressor is because he didn't follow police orders. And it seems to me that when the police tell you to do something, you fucking do it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's apparently going, nope, this can't wait. This is too serious a threat. I got to take care of it.
I never understood, why is it his ground when he's going up to him?
Exactly. No, I
mean, if anybody was standing his ground, wouldn't Trayvon be standing the ground because he's attacking the guy that's following him?
I'm asking because I really can't even imagine. And now that we all know, because what I was going to say was, when this person gets off, a la Zimmerman, Blake, OJ, it seems like that usually it's sort of, my inner self says, God, this is so unfair. He fucking ended someone's life. How can he be free? How could a jury let this person go? Casey Anthony's another good one. And it really bugs me. But then you see them out there fucking up again and again. Like this guy, he's gotten in two domestics with two different girls. Yeah. He stabbed an iPad. I mean, how do you even process that? He's such a fucking
shooting
idiot.
A human and stabbing an iPad.
Didn't he attack somebody in a vehicle at a gas station too? There was a confrontation,
right? There was a confrontation at a restaurant.
You know, there's been multiple. I can't even keep track of them all. He's such a fucking asshole, and he's been kicked off Tinder and Bumble for using fake aliases.
Carter.
And yeah, this one, Carter, consultant at Self-Employed Liberty University. Consultant? What is he fucking? You know, these people, this is a guy who killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out there presenting himself on... And I should be laughing about this because it's so stupid. Consultant. Who would ever believe this guy is, first of all, his name's Carter.
Well, that's what I was wondering. If he put himself out there, George Zimmerman, on Bumble and Tinder, they wouldn't kick him off because that's who he's, that's a real profile.
And he gets stupid dates from dumb girls.
Yeah, and he has every right to do that.
Famous.
But he thinks he's so slick.
Yeah, he does.
Like he's getting around it.
Look how smart I am. I'm a security guy. I know when there's a stranger that doesn't belong in my sub. When actually the guy, Trayvon Martin, lived there, and he's fucking dead because this asshole couldn't wait for the police. But nonetheless, so he's a consultant at Self-Employed Liberty University. Man, I'm looking for carefree fun. Yeah, carefree fun. What, doing security for your apartment complex? I love the outdoors, fishing, camping, and hiking, and stalking people. I love adventure, not into huge crowds. Oh, gee, I wonder why. I'm also down for a quiet night with Longhorn Takeout.
Ew.
Oh, was he sponsored by Longhorn Steakhouse?
That does sound
Longhorn
good.
Takeout.
He's a spokesperson for Longhorn Steakhouse.
That sounds great.
He's an influencer for Longhorn.
And this
hashtag
shirt,
ad.
What is this shirtless
I know,
picture?
He thinks he's so hot.
You're
wait,
fucking
what?
Slob.
Let me see.
He also said he'd prefer to avoid...
Oh, my God, there's so much real estate there.
You like what you see.
He'd prefer to avoid large crowds.
Yeah, because
they might recognize you.
Oh, Zimmerman, you asshole!
Racist McShoot face.
So, isn't that fraud, though? I mean, when you're George Zimmerman, because he's a sort of... because he has that...
Well, that's why they kicked him off.
It's not a fake crime profile.
It's not a real profile.
It's not a crime though. To lie that it's you, a guy who shot someone.
He was standing his ground, Trudy.
I know, but still, if I were stupid enough to go on that on a date with him and he showed up...
Liberty University fire him?
He's not a...
What?
Employee, is
he's not?
Make that up.
I thought you were serious for a second. Can we call
Maybe he is.
Let's call Liberty University. You see if,
did you see the one picture where he's
get a 99% number, Brandon?
I'll find one.
He's in his cap and gown in the one picture.
There he
is with
a
dog.
That
picture with the dog looks really old.
These pictures are
that's
ridiculous.
That's back when his face his eyes weren't in the center because he's so fat. Right there, it kind of looks like a normal
Thank
face.
Thank you for calling Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia.
For financial aid, student accounts, or registrar, press 1. For Liberty Online, press 2. Registrar. For resident admissions, press 3. For computer help desk, press 4. For athletics, press 5.
Maybe he goes. Oh, you know what, Drew? I bet you he goes to Liberty University online.
For Liberty University.
You think?
Thank you for calling the Liberty University Student Service Center. Got questions?
That's not what I hit.
Let us help. We are currently closed. We will be happy to assist.
God damn it.
Oh. But.
Huh? What? Say what? Is there anybody getting human? Zero?
I'm hitting buttons. Something's happening.
Just smash it.
Yeah, if you mash it, sometimes it works. It's bizarre. There's just mash all the buttons.
Is there a bursar's office?
A what?
The bursar.
What is that?
That's where you pay your tuition at the bursar.
Oh.
I'll try again.
Oh. Or bursar.
Other possible interests not mentioned in his profile include bragging about killing a kid at a local bar, threatening to feed a man to alligators, getting fined for stalking, pointing a gun. Oh, screen grab via Tinder obtained by CL Tampa Bay.
Yeah, did you see the comments back and forth that someone posted to him?
No.
So he wrote, "Hi, you're very pretty. I'm fairly new on here. It's led to a few cool women and some great dates. Nice pointing out that you fucked a few chicks already. Now it's your turn. One of my best dates was going ice skating for the first time ever.
Fake.
I busted my ass quite a few times. She burst out laughing each time and kept the, and the ice kept me from bruising." What kind of emoji is that, Trudy? Just a weird smiley face?
Yes.
What's your best slash funniest first date been? And then the person replies,
"We apologize for any inconvenience, but all offices are currently closed."
All right, we'll try tomorrow.
The response was, "There's a special dating app for like you and Casey Anthony." So yeah, I guess he's been on OkCupid too. But it looks like at least he used his real name there, but he spelled it J-O-R-G.
I like how he's trying to make it really funny when he falls in the ice and then he can ice his bruise.
Oh, how wacky. Is there any other screen grabs of comments?
That's the only one. That's the only one I can see. And that one, once again, is from OkCupid. I don't know. Maybe he's still on OkCupid.
Can you rate people on those services? I've never used one.
I have no idea.
Like that guy was 0 stars.
Oh, look at that picture from Bumble, Trudy, where the dog's licking his face. Oh.
Poor dog doesn't know.
But this is just so distressing. You know,
why does he shoot that dog? He's in his ground.
Where'd he buy the cap and gown? What a fucking liar. And this got me thinking today. This is so silly. I'm working out and I'm reading this story about somebody who's congratulating Kim Kardashian on going to law school or on becoming a lawyer. I'm like, first of all, why is she blabbing to the world, "I'm becoming a lawyer," when she just started? She, you know, if she was about to take the bar or something, "Yeah, I finished this thing. It's the equivalent to law school. I'm going to take the bar. I'm really excited to defend people." She just started. Why is this a story?
She's an idiot.
It's like, first of all, okay, can I point something out here? She didn't go to college, and she's not going to law school. How many lawyers do you know that didn't go to college, undergrad, or law school? How is she becoming a lawyer? How the fuck is that possible?
The bar? Great question.
Are you allowed to take the bar?
I didn't think so. Not until you passed the law school.
Well,
I don't think.
How many people don't go to law school or undergrad and are your lawyer?
Michael Cohen?
I think he went to school.
He went to Cooley. Avenatti?
I think he probably went to undergrad too.
Great
don't
lawyer.
Most do attorneys?
He did actually.
Who goes to law school right out of high school? I've never heard of that. But then again, no.
Doogie
I'm
Howser?
Sorry. Excuse me. She's not going to law school. She's clerking with someone or something. And if you clerk for a certain amount of hours, then you can take the bar and become a lawyer. I'm kind of lost on this Kim Kardashian story, and I realize our 60 days may not be up, but. What the fuck? Is anybody with me on this?
Yes, it's dumb. I think she just wanted to brag.
I know, and what's she bragging about? She's done nothing. She doesn't even have an undergrad degree, and she's not going to law school.
She's got a big ass, Drew.
But she keeps popping up because Trump meets with her, and they talk about prison reform.
Okay, great.
Still doesn't make
you
a lawyer.
That's using her celebrity to, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I laud her for that. But I'm going to be a liar. I'm going to be a criminal defense attorney. I mean, like, she's going to be fucking Perry Mason up there or Mark Garagos or one of these big shot attorneys. Like, shut up. And how can she take the bar without ever going to college at all?
There has to be sense.
I honestly didn't know you could.
No.
I didn't know that was a possibility.
And can you go to law school without going to undergrad? Can you just take your LSATs out of high school? Do people actually do this? Is she that smart? She must be brilliant.
Maybe you can.
Maybe you can do that, but you still have to go.
I still have to get a degree. I've never heard of that. Can someone please call the boner line if
four,
you have such
four
a
Four states. This is due to 5 seconds of research. Four states allow aspiring lawyers to take the bar exam without going to law school. California, Virginia, Vermont, and Washington.
Okay, and you don't have to go to college either?
I didn't ask that question.
It seems a little odd to get a law degree without ever taking a college course.
Let's see.
You get a law degree.
You take the bar without a college degree. Four states. California, Virginia, Vermont, and Washington.
She fucked Ray J and now she's famous.
Okay.
So, I mean, that really answers it. Yeah, the answer is yes, she can.
Okay. So, and because she knows people and she's Kim Kardashian, she doesn't really have to show up at this thing. Because this apprenticeship or whatever... It's hours and hours and hours because you're not going to law school. So the hours, and I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting because she's on a TV show. She's got a fashion line. She does this, that, the other. She's all over the world. Her husband's Kanye West. She's at Coachella. She's everywhere. How does she show up for this thing every day? That's really interesting.
Online.
Isn't that kind of interesting?
It is interesting.
No, it's not online. You have to work with an attorney. And I was thinking, why does that attorney want to work with her? I mean, he's not going to fuck her.
Well, maybe. You don't know that. It's possible.
I realize it's rather shallow of me to say that, but I just don't.
Hey, do you have any?
I don't like her bragging about before she's done squat.
Lame. Well, that seems to be her MO. Do you have any interest in calling the numbers for George Zimmerman that we have? Maybe to tell the people that they have George Zimmerman's phone number.
Yeah, we could call a couple.
Do you want to try Brandon? There's the numbers. You could always ask for Calvin.
Carter.
Carter, is that what it was?
Carter.
Not Calvin. Carter was the name?
Yeah, Carter.
Did he do that because of Jay-Z? Because Jay-Z's real
name is Carter. Oh, he's suing Jay-Z. He's suing Jay-Z or Jay-Z's
Carter,
suing him?
Why is he suing Jay-Z again?
There's a restraining order against him because he was stalking Jay-Z. Jay-Z's doing a documentary on him.
That's the guy who's going to feed to the alligator.
First-class prick. The idea of him even being on a dating app is so distressing to me.
The service you are attempting to use has been restricted or is unavailable.
Oh, that's probably him.
That's a Zimmerman plan? You can have your phone number restricted?
Well, do you have a Bumble app? Let's just go on and proposition. That's
Bumble.
Good.
You need Bumble because the women choose, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
I think. I don't know.
Hey, off the subject, but did you happen to see
some more. Keep going,
Brittany?
Oh, she looks great.
Getting out.
Oh, there he's on the phone.
Oh, he doesn't have call waiting.
He was talking to somebody.
Who gets a busy signal?
Brittany got out for Easter from her mental health facility.
Day. Yeah.
Which, if we can just review this. The way the story was told, I'm just repeating it, is that she was going into a mental health facility like a rehab facility because she's so upset because her father is in dire straits, medically speaking, and she can't handle it. And I thought, you know, that's interesting. When she was fucked, when she was, you know, whatever she was doing, when she couldn't take care of her kids, she couldn't take care of her money, the court had to literally remove her from her own affairs. Right. Her father takes over. He has to literally dole out her cell phone in 5-minute increments because she's so out of control. And now here we are, 12, 13 years later, and her father's ill, and she has to go into a treatment center because she can't deal with his illness. Doesn't seem like she's giving back too much to her father to me. Call me crazy, but doesn't seem like he deserves some support right now as opposed to, because when she went in, it's like, oh, well, Kevin fell on. Oh, I support Brittany. She's doing the right thing. It's great. Oh, we support. Oh, we have her back. What the fuck? She never has to have anyone else's back ever because she's Britney Spears.
Yeah. Leave Britney alone.
I mean, isn't that just fucking ridiculous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she looks really weird.
I know
too.
She did. She does look. I saw that picture today. Let me see.
Yeah,
it's great.
Something looks really strange, doesn't it?
Look at him. There was her
what
boyfriend.
What is she on? Is she on something
crazy?
Gotta be. Look at the lost look on her face.
Yeah, she looks ridiculous.
Weird.
And then, Let's see.
That's my dad is dying look.
Nice. That picture right there is just like,
my dad is dying look.
The thought bubble over her head is like,
Her hair is a wreck.
That's always the thought bubble over her head.
They show pictures, so TMZ too, they show pictures of her when she was better looking, young, and seemingly in control. And
seemingly, yeah. I like the addition of seemingly there.
She doesn't look like the same dumb is happening in that head of hers, but oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, she's another one that, you know, I was looking at the tour receipts thing at the end of the year. Britney Spears
out for just the day on Easter. It's the first video of the pop star after she reportedly spent the last several months in a mental health facility.
They don't have combs there?
That picture.
It's the first video of Britney Spears since reports that she was being held against her will in a mental health facility.
Hi, Britney. How you feeling?
The 37-year-old pop star was spotted Easter Sunday in a floral sundress, leaving the Montage Hotel in L.A. with her boyfriend, model Sam Asghari. The Easter outing comes following bombshell claims that Britney's father had forced her into the facility because she wasn't taking her medications for bipolar disorder.
Oh, that sounds about right.
According to published reports, Britney got a day pass from the facility to spend Easter with her boyfriend.
How you feeling, Britney?
Britney's father became her conservator, overseeing her life and career after that very public meltdown she had in 2008.
Online, okay, that makes a little more sense.
Online, the continuation of Inside Edition story says, after a popular podcast called Britney's Gram aired a special emergency episode upon receiving a voicemail from a paralegal claiming to be involved with her conservatorship, the source claimed that Spears had not been taken. So that's where it came from. But most importantly, there's a podcast called Britney's Gram.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Britney's Gram. We're here, as you've already found out, this is a special emergency episode.
Yeah, thanks for listening
to
the podcast.
This is a special emergency episode. We are dropping it early.
Emergency.
We usually come out on Thursday mornings, but we decided this
Is an emergency?
Wait,
they're pushing the Free Britney movement.
This is a big deal, guys. I hope that wherever you are, you're somewhere that you're able to receive some big information and feel a lot of things. And
great vocal fry. This should be the Vocal Fry podcast.
We have a hotline. People.
Britney's Gram is about
a hotline.
It's about. They got a boner line too. It's about Britney's Instagram, a podcast about her Instagram.
Cool.
In involved in Britney's conservatorship. That voicemail is going to come up a little bit later, but we did want to go over what's been happening because we know a lot of new people might listen to this this episode.
This is really
and
scary.
It might need to be caught up
this is scaring
bit.
Me.
This exists.
Yes.
Try and catch you up as much as we can. Yeah. So all of our current listeners, take a couple breaths while we go through this. Those of you guys who are kind of brand new,
we found out the Britney hotline.
What's that?
She said there's a Britney. She had people calling the Britney hotline.
Well, we need to call it.
Did you know she openly kissed Madonna?
I love that guy.
That guy is so obsessed
He's
with
so
that.
Cool.
Somebody thought they gave her electroshock therapy. In the comment section, of course. So it was completely irrelevant.
That is a fact.
She looks, honestly, I've seen now four pictures of her. She looks absolutely out of it. Mm-hmm.
Vacant.
She's coming out of a mental hospital. What is going on with her?
She's got a day pass.
I mean, I'm not criticizing her. It's like, wow, what is that?
She must be taking her medication now.
Well, I thought she could function on her medication.
Well, she's functioning. She's just dazed.
I was just, you know, I look back at that whole Britney thing, and it
wasn't
is.
Wasn't that fun? That was great.
You know, I have to admit.
Is that possible to travel speed?
Yeah.
The dumbest television show. Everyone in her orbit said, Britney, do not put that out. Do not let anyone see that. It's absolutely insipid, idiotic. It'll hurt your image. People think you actually have a brain. And she's like, nah, I'm putting it out. Because, you know, Britney, I still back and I like the money, so I do what I want.
Good. I'm glad she did.
That's like a new movie and stuff.
I love that.
She can't sing. Her singing is horrible. We've heard it without the effects. It's terrible. And she's a complete fucking imbecile. I mean, honestly,
I want to see that movie. I want to see that.
And then she's so popular that every time she gets in her car, a million tabloid reporters follow her, and she drives at high speeds through neighborhoods that, you know, 25 miles an hour to have fun getting chased by tabloid reporters.
With her kid on her lap.
Yeah. And they're describing this and saying, this is just absolutely madness. Dangerous as hell and stupid, but she thinks it's a big game.
Yeah. Well, were you not entertained?
Yeah, I was entertained. But
I was
I
glad
just,
for it all.
The stupidity of it was just almost unbearable. And then I saw the Holy Trinity picture on the 10-year anniversary.
Oh, God.
Her, Paris Hilton, and Lindsay Lohan in the front seat of a car. Like, oh, my God.
The good old days. It really was the good old days.
You know, what's funny about that is Britney's the only one with a career left. Paris Hilton's
No,
just,
Paris, remember we saw that, how what she does in a day? And
just social media. Yeah, that's all she does. Social
she's a
media.
DJ.
Lindsay Lohan, her show is bombing. It's a reality show. That's the last thing she can do. What else can she do? Who's going to put her in a movie? Who's going to give her a good role in a movie? She could do porn. I'm sorry. She's not done.
Well, I was going to say, who's gonna use her as an advertiser, but somebody did try to hire her to do something.
Lindsay?
Yes. And what she did was she ended up posting everything, including their instructions. Like, please, will you tweet this out? And then there's
I saw that.
Yeah, she even failed at that.
Why doesn't she just sell a mold of her vagina and butt?
Oh, hey.
I mean, really, isn't that the last step for her now?
I'm thinking about something. Like, this is a really tough call. I was debating.
Oh, smell.
If I was, who would I rather be right now? Would I rather be Lindsay Lohan or Farrah? I think I'd prefer Farrah. I think Farrah has more going for her than Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, but Lindsay hasn't gone down that road yet.
But Farrah's done it successfully.
Plus, Lindsay's saving people off the streets of Russia.
Farrah's, that's true. Farrah's got a daughter who owns a furniture store who's like 9.
I thought that place closed.
Yeah, it did. So the Frogert place.
Lindsay Lohan's stepmom got pled guilty to disorderly conduct. And by stepmom, I mean Kate Major.
Yeah, John Gosselin's ex.
John Gosselin's ex, and then she married Michael Lohan, and she pled guilty to disorderly conduct because on Christmas Day, no less, she was angry that she missed her stop on the bus. She was riding a bus.
Ooh.
So she grabbed the bus driver, verbally assaulted him, then got behind the wheel and began pushing buttons as the engine was running. So they arrested her and threw her in jail for Christmas. Total mess.
Oh, boy.
And now she's in the middle. Oh, boy. Now she's being divorced by Michael Lohan. So that's a pretty low place to be when he's divorcing her. Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, did you include the new Red Shovel Network intro on the podcast today?
Oh, shit. No.
What?
Just say yes. You can put it on.
Well, did I finish it?
Well, we could debut it and listen to it, get response to what people think. I think it's going to be a big success running before the podcast.
Okay. I'd love to hear that.
Where did I put it?
You have it?
Let me see.
The following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mack Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Oh, so I love it.
I might have to work on it.
That was pretty cool.
I screwed up some of the music, so I might have to fix it.
I love it. It's funky.
Yeah, and Walter's our booth announcer now. I think he's doing a good job.
He's really good.
Yeah.
I heard him cut some line for wheels.
He did do
the liners for
he
wheels.
He has the wheels account.
Those are great.
Wheels is one of his accounts. He might have Kraft Foods or something.
This is Walter, your booth announcer for the Red Shovel Network.
Yeah, he likes to listen to a lot of
what kind of announcer?
Listen to that motherfucker play those keyboards. Mr. Billy Preston, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I was his booth announcer. Only officially credited person on a beat recording besides John Paul, George, and Ringo.
Do you have
this is Walter, your booth announcer for the Red Shovel Network.
Do you have the liners he did for Wheels?
Oh.
Just real quick. It's in the email you sent, but you'll have to jump past Drew.
He was fired up when they were picking out the Billy Preston music for the Red Shovel Network.
Is that
intro.
His favorite?
He likes Billy Preston a lot.
Yeah.
He likes the
Drew Mack Show, still around. It's on LLZ now. WLLZ has a Drew Mack Show.
See, he's a pro.
Wait, the Drew Mack Show is on WLLZ? What? Are you saying the Drew Mack Show is on WLLZ now?
This is what
he's still like Jordan.
The Drew Mack Show, what? The Drew Mack Show. The Drew Mack Show, what?
He's the best.
We'll get him on the show.
The Drew Mack Show, what?
Wow. He's got a lot of creativity.
I love his.
I love the Drew Mack Show.
He's passionate.
He's intense.
Nothing gets
him
down.
He's a pro. I mean, they give him a few lines and he can extrapolate all kinds of stuff. I think he made up that. I said I need a Red Shovel Network intro. He wrote that whole thing.
That's why he's the booth announcer.
Oh, man.
So get us out of here, Brandon. And I'll mention that No Filter Sports has a new show. Check it out. They're talking about Steve Yzerman and a myriad of other things. They cover a lot of ground in an hour.
No, they really do. They hit all pretty much all four major sports. I mean, there was a little bit of NFL draft stuff today. Some Michael Jordan conspiracy theories.
And, did they talk about Tony Mandarich?
They did not.
But, we didn't talk about him either, Drew.
We can save that. I got a pile of stuff left over.
Oh, yeah. We got new cameos to get to. We got Clarice Gainey that we must either play or at least call.
Oh, she's great.
She is great.
Wait, Clarice?
Yeah,
that lady.
She's the one. Yeah.
Play softball.
Pia! Did you talk to her?
Not yet.
Okay. Do we have her number?
We do.
We do. Oh, I'm psyched. Yeah, she beat up a guy, a half-naked guy that was trying to break into her car. She's an older lady, and she played softball, so she had a baseball.
She can swing a bat.
Yeah.
She acted it out, too.
I know. She's very descriptive.
I took that bat.
I dig her.
Yeah.
Elric's show with Jim Schaefer is doing gangbuster business, and Coleman Young Jr. was in this basement on Friday. And Joel Loving and the mother, Coleman Young's ex, I guess she's his ex, because she bore Coleman Young Jr. or the former Joel Loving.
Really?
Yeah.
She was here too?
She was very friendly. I met her. Yeah, she was super nice. And she looked a lot younger. So I was thinking, wait, she went out with Coleman Young. This is a long time ago. And Coleman Jr. is he 30? In his 30s, right? I don't know. She looked very young. When Charlie said, oh, you met Coleman's mom. And I was like, oh, that's his mom. Anyway. So there's that on No Bullshit News. And Elric re-records on Wednesday with a new show, but he and Schaefer are great on the 10-year anniversary of Quame. See ya!
Did your mag show what?